Broadcasting Multiplex of CBS Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show.
Indeed it is. Feeling a little bloated today. I got like this whole, you know what it is? I had this big thing of pasta this morning, and I think pasta is like one of those little spongy things you buy when you're a kid. They're like little capsules, and you drop them in hot water, and suddenly it's a stegosaurus. I think pasta does that when you eat it. I think it swells up to 14 times its natural size in your stomach.
It does expand.
Does it really?
Uh-huh.
Are you making that up?
No, I'm not making it at all.
Ugh. Oh, it's only going to get more unpleasant as the hour goes on. I can already feel the gastrointestinal distress beginning. I'll mic my stomach later on if it gets to sick. I'll put a lavalier mic right inside my... Wait, hold on. Let me activate Dennis Miller mode. I'll just put a lavalier right inside my duodenum. We all set. I don't even know what a duodenum is. I'm not even sure that that's a real part of the body. I think I remember that from that Visible Man thing, or that thing you had in the biology book where you'd peel back the pages of laminate and, like, eventually it would just be a skull. But I don't really know. Please don't call to clarify. I don't care that much. It's 503-733-2970. It is 3 minutes and 28 seconds after the hour of 11 in this month of May in the year of our Lord, 2007. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970. Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Radio program assembled lovingly in the United States by robots, so forth. It's Wednesday, and welcome to day 12, day 2 of Jerry Falwell being dead, though, so we got that going for us. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to be part of the program in an electronic sense, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Scotty's back there looking busily for some sort of a spinning prize wheel sound effect. I would ask you right now, if anybody listening to be had, and you know what I'm talking about. It's like that pentagram of prizes we had at Dante's after Horns Across the Hawthorn, where you spin it and it's got pegs at the top. It's like a Wheel of Fortune kind of a thing. If anybody has that spinning sound effect, please to be sending that to me now. I was going to do, because I've got this large segment of things. I'm looking at it over here, and it's like a good half-inch thick. Just a big pile of crap that I haven't gotten to. And it's something sort of timeless, evergreen, doesn't date, as they say. But I would like to get to it at some point. But I'm really bad at prioritizing. And so I think what I'm going to do from this day, henceforth, as they say, at Ren Faire's, I'm going to begin just spinning a random wheel of crap every so often. Maybe once every 90 minutes or so. And then I'll just do whatever it lands on. A big pile of stuff over here. So you get a prize wheel sound, you send that my way. I'll be eternally indebted to you. It is 503-733-2970. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com, with your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your what have you. I got some emails to get through here in this first segment, a bunch of crap from the Oregonian. We've got Lisa Goddard is going to be joining us from the Hill. Now, Lisa Goddard is not technically talk. Let me just talk to you about CNN for a moment. Apparently, CNN, and this is a common lament on the program, but that it's not going to stop me from doing it again. Apparently, it doesn't really matter to CNN if you are west of the Mississippi. If you are a radio station that is in the western part of the United States or in the Midwest somewhere, apparently you don't actually need to get news about breaking issues. Apparently, things that are happening that affect the world at large, they don't really matter to people who are in, say, oh, I don't know, Portland, Oregon. That's why they'll have Amanda Moyer, who is available from Lynchburg. They ought to just put that here. Available from Lynchburg, Virginia, unless you are Rick Emerson. Unless you are somewhere on the West Coast, in which case she is not available. F you. Thank you for reading it, Carl Jr. Right there. Jerry Falwell dead. I'd like to talk to Amanda Moyer and find out what the vibe is. What do you suppose the vibe in a place like Lynchburg is on a general, like on a day-to-day basis anyway? Well, I'll never know, will I? So we called today and asked if we could speak to Amanda Moyer, with whom I've had several pleasant conversations. I think she liked the cut of my jib. But you know what? It's not going to happen today. Not going to happen to anybody who's not on the East Coast. That's okay.
I thought you and Amanda didn't hit it off, or was it the other lady?
I was turning her, though.
Yeah.
I was turning her.
I'm sure you were.
She just needed the right man. But I'm not going to be able to talk to her today because they told us to get bent. So, you know, whatever. It's all right. I'd much rather just talk about the Country Music Awards, endlessly. We'll talk to Jim Roop today. He's in Las Vegas for the Academy of Country Music Awards. And I'm really not even going to talk about that so much as I'm going to talk about the fact that Phil Spector is crazy. Phil Spector, sometimes somebody has crazy eyes. Stephanie Miller, she's got crazy eyes. Phil Spector's got crazy everything. He's got an all-over sort of sheen of crazy. Kind of an all-over crazy gloss. I don't know if you've seen this video that's going around the interwebs today, but it's Phil Spector wearing what looks to be I'm just going to say it like it is. He looks like Mrs. Roper. He looks like Helen Roper from Three's Company. He's got the big, like the big fro going on, but it's not really a fro so much as it looks like some sort of a clown wig. And then he's wearing a house dress. All he's missing is 15 pounds of beads and a husband that doesn't put out. And he's sitting there staring at the camera, and then at one point he begins waving a check for $100,000 at the camera and says, "You all just want money, so come get it." And then the video just stops. It doesn't make any sense at all. I'm not even sure when the video's from. And I guess there's some, like, 17th woman who said that he... I think at one point, actually, he was talking about that Lana Clarkson woman that he supposedly killed. And I think he actually said at one point... This is his defense. He says this in the video. That she was dancing around and eating the gun. So there you go. What else? We'll talk to Lisa Goddard. She's apparently going to be talking about Iraq funding. I'm going to make her talk about Jerry Falwell, though. She doesn't know that yet. But it's going to happen. And I guess we've got... I'm unclear about the situation in Iraq. There's like these three guys or four guys who are missing, which is, I guess we've diverted like 4,000 guys to go search for these dudes that went missing somewhere in Iraq. It should be a big story, but I'm really kind of unclear about what it even is. So we'll have that. What else? Well, we've got Jerry Falwell still dead. Christopher Hitchens weighs in via the Anderson Cooper show last night, which I haven't seen, but I mean, just watching, I saw a little preview of it this morning. It just looked fantastic. I watched some of the Larry King show because Tim was talking to me this morning. Tim was like, "Oh, did you see Christopher Hitchens on Larry King?" And it turns out it was actually Anderson Cooper. But while looking for it, I watched a little bit of Larry King, and he had Ralph Reed and Al Sharpton on there. And boy, you talk about just two smarmy, unlikable bastards. Just talk about two just flip side. Are the same smarmy coin. Just terrible people. Some of the terrible people, they just put up sort of a vibe. Like some sort of a sack full of anchovies that's been rotting in a warehouse for 3 or 4 days during the height of the summer heat. It's kind of the vibe they put up. Let's see. Anna Nicole Smith is trashier and more illiterate than you ever thought possible. We'll have evidence of that. We got a great religious nutcase watch. Yeah, right here. Hold this in my hand. A fantastic religious nutcase watch. This one involves, let's see. I'm just going to give you just a little sentence. This is a little tiny excerpt from today's religious nutcase watch, which comes to us from Fort Worth. That's in, Texas, right? Yeah, Fort Worth. It just contains this phrase. I'll give you two phrases, actually. Here's two little teases from today's religious nutcase watch. Phrase number one. Afterward, he hugged me and told me he loved me and that he just wanted me to obey. That's the first phrase. Second phrase is this. She said she was hesitant, but believed so devoutly in the pastor's power that she viewed it as a spiritual father-daughter relationship. Bam! There you go. It's good that even though Jerry Falwell is dead, men of the cloth continue to provide us with fodder on a daily basis. That is how Jesus would want it. What else do we have? I got a great set of lyric submissions for the Portland Anthem, which we will get to the end today, without fail. And here's why, because I'm going to do it in the 1 o'clock hour to make sure we get there. We'll do this top five rock anthems of all time. Top five rock anthems of all time. We'll get to that in the 1 o'clock hour. In the meantime, in between time, if you would like to be part of today's program, you can pick up the phone and call 503-733-2970. Doesn't matter if you're completely off topic or have nothing meaningful to say. It won't stop Scotty from funneling you right onto my screen. 503-733-2970. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com. And just so I can address this at the top of the show, yes, you sons of bitches, I bicycled to work again today. Because here's the thing. Don't think I'm on to you. Don't think I don't know that everybody gathers around the wireless every day just waiting for that first day that I don't bicycle in. The first day that I take money from God's special children. Everybody's just waiting, circling like vultures in the sky, ready to pounce down. Here's how I know that this is true. If you go to rickemerson.com, there's a link to the Emerson Challenge page, or you can just go to, I think it's emersonchallenge.blogspot.com. Our good friend Seamus has set up there. And I know that, I mean, I don't mean to mock Seamus because he's put together a page that has got, I mean, it's like it's almost $7,000 in donations right now for the Special Olympics. I'm pretty sure, though, that at the top of the page he's actually put the show, like the time the show was on and the telephone number. And I think there's some instruction there for the first day that I don't do it, for people just to jam the phone lines and ask me why I hate retarded children. So there you go. So thanks. That day is not today, though, you bastards. I did, in fact, bicycle today, as did Sarah Dillon. Hi, how are you today?
You know I didn't.
Yeah, you know today's National Bike to Work Day.
Of course. Bam. I know the one day that I don't ride my bike, it's National Bike to Work Day.
They were giving free burritos to bicyclers today. You're on the Hawthorne Bridge, you'd go across there, and there was like a little free burrito thing.
Oh, that place is always, they're always done doing that by the time I ride across, though.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
No, because
I always miss them.
And it's like every, I think it's the first or last Friday or something of every month, there's like some guy that's like a free donut and coffee thing if you're on a bicycle. But it's, I think it's from the Critical Mass guys. So I don't feel good about that. I don't feel good about stopping and fraternizing with them. I don't do that. All right. I was going to ask you something about something that happened last night, but I forget what it even is now. I don't know. It's gone. It's out of my head.
I'm sad I lost my bracelet last night.
I have nothing. Well, you're wearing like 100 pounds of jewelry.
I know. When my grandmother passed, I inherited a bunch of her jewelry, and I was wearing one of these.
By inherited, you mean stole?
Yes. And
look over there. She's rummaging through a box.
I had this beautiful clasp bracelet that had like these five segments of squares and had all this like Japanese writing on it and like different pictures and stuff. And it, the clasp was sketchy, and it fell off my wrist last night. And I'm really depressed.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
And after all that trouble you went through to pull it off of her hand.
Shut up. It was in her jewelry box.
Uh-huh.
She left it for me.
Well, things aren't easy to pry open either. Okay. Well, that's only in my... You don't have a lot of siblings either, so that's not... That's only in my family that happens.
Yeah, plus Heather's on the East Coast, so I got first pick.
Okay. Good time.
Nice. And I got my nails off.
Oh.
And I saved them. I just remembered.
Did you bring a bag of fingernails?
I saved them for you.
Oh, that's fantastic.
The guy tried to throw them away. I'm like, oh,
no,
oh,
keep
wait.
Those. I need them for a voodoo rite.
It's really gross, though.
I'm gonna grind them up and I'm gonna make them into some sort of fertility powder. All right, can I?
You're right.
Oh, you didn't put them in a bag?
Well,
you
had to
give me
improvise.
A handful of loose fingernails. What do you mean you had to improvise?
I didn't have a bag. There you go. Here, should I walk around?
Sarah's handing me. She's giving me a handful of her loose fingernails.
They're not my
nails. All right. Wait, hold on. Here we go. Ah, that's so gross. Oh, that's disgusting. Hey, Tim, look. It's a handful of loose fingernails.
I believe you. I'm not looking.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm going to set these right over here. Yeah, I'm going to auction those for the kids. I'm going to put those in a bag, and we're going to give those to the next glorious bastard of the week.
Oh, no, and the guy who took them off was totally creepy, and he kept calling me baby.
Really?
It was weird. I don't know. I went to this place I've never been to before downtown. It was just close to us.
Did he have some special adhesive remover that had to be applied with his tongue? Hold on, let me get those off.
He was just really creepy, and like, I was going to get, you know, my nails painted after, and as soon as he took them off, I'm like, you know, I'm done.
I'm going to get out of here.
I got to go. And he's like, oh, baby, why are you going so soon?
Is that really how he talked?
Yeah.
Did he talk about how 7-Up was the Uncola and never had caffeine
very
and never will?
Interesting accent.
Uh-huh. Did he?
That was my affinity.
You stay, I paint your fingernails. All right. Well, fantastic.
I hope you enjoy those, Rick.
Thank you so much. Does this mean I missed my chance to get a manicure with you? Yeah. All
it's
right.
True.
They don't call it a manicure when a guy does it, though. I've only ever had it done once. I went to that Hair M place downtown because they were a sponsor on Max 910. And they wanted me to go there and, like, check it out.
I remember.
And not a bad place. I don't know if they're an advertiser here or not. I'm just saying, you know, not a bad place. Not really my deal, though. They don't call it a manicure when a guy gets it done. I forget what they call it, though.
It is a manicure.
All right, thanks. Thanks. I don't have the Z sound effect. If I did, I would... wait, hold on. All right. The Reverend Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification today.
We'll continue with Jerry Falwell. Faith, hate, and Teletubbies. Then Anna Nicole Diary. Sex, surgery, and sadness. Prince Harry will not go to Iraq after all. Paul Wolfowitz may resign today after giving his girlfriend a big raise. And the rapist running for the school board in St. Helens is defeated in the election.
I suppose that's good for the people in St. Helens. That's bad for us, though. So today's the last day we'll be able to talk about him until he snaps and goes crazy again. Apparently, your duodenum, by the way, is a part of your gastric system. It is your small intestines. So there you go, in case you were curious about that. Rick, if you need a prize wheel sound, just use the original mystery sound. No, because it doesn't have... Well, maybe. It might work. All right. Don't forget, by the way, speaking of the Glorious Bastards, go to 970.am. 970. I really am bloated. That pasta is just sort of swelling inside me. It's swelling inside me like Violet Beauregard. Just sort of a...
You're really gross right now.
To the juicing room!
I don't want you talking about the juicing room.
Yeah. I would have a band called the Juicing Room. Anywho, so the next time you the next time you're near a computer, go to 970.am, sign up to be one of the AM 970 Glorious Bastards. And of course, you can find out everything that's going on with the show and the station, and kind of get the inside scoop and the so forth and the hey. I think tomorrow, I think we pick another Glorious Bastard of the Week. The Glorious Bastard of the Week this week wins a big pile of crap from our crap vault, and also a bag of Sarah Dillon's fingernails. I swear to God, I'm not kidding. I'm gonna go.
You're
I'm gonna,
creepy.
I'm
trying to get a Ziploc bag in the kitchen. To give them to somebody.
What did you give them to me to do exactly?
I just wanted to gross you out. You can throw them away now.
Oh no! I'm gonna stay right over here, and I'm gonna. You know what I should do is I should just put them in a block of Lucite and then just hold them every day, as though there's some sort of a magical talisman. What are you holding there? The fingernails of a young girl, and then just like give them a creepy, unbroken stare. Come on, that's funny. Hi.
If by funny you mean creepy.
Yes, I do. I forget what they called the manicure at Hair M when I got that done. They didn't call it. It didn't end with job. They didn't. I forget what they did, but it was something like that. It was like hand. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. They didn't call it that. They weren't doing
a job with their hands.
They weren't doing a job on my hands. I mean, they were, but they didn't call it that.
Well, they were also doing it with their hands.
Yes.
Yes.
They loved my hands long time. I think they did actually call it. I swear to God. I think they actually did call it something like hand service. I may be wrong about that. I'm not trying to work blue, but I am trying to the best of my knowledge. This is what at Hair M they call. Because the deal is you would go in. It sounds like I'm doing a big plug for them, so, you know, I build them for this. But I went there, and the deal is. Here's the one thing I will say about that place, because I don't even know if it's still around. They had kind of an interesting idea. It was sort of like a spa, like a day salon kind of a thing, like for guys. Which is not like a terrible idea, because they did have some cool stuff. Like, they had a bunch of televisions everywhere with, like, you know, like the World Poker Tour and stuff playing. And I think they had like an Xbox and a PlayStation or whatever. And the deal is you could just kind of hang out, and they would give you the full service. They would give you the, it's so hard to talk about this without making it sound as though it's an inappropriate business. They would give you the full body service. And they'd give you the hand service too. But the one great thing about the place is they would give you a shave with the straight razor. They give you the straight blade shave, which is great, because if you get that done, I'm telling you, man, you get shaved with the straight razor, you don't need to shave for like 3 days. It really is. I mean, forget the Fusion and the 5 blades and the Mach 3 and the electric. If you get shaved with a blade, you don't need to shave for like another 2 or 3 days at most. It is like, it is the closest shave. I've only ever had it done like twice in my life, once in Vegas, I think, at a similar place, and then once there. But somebody told me that they can't do that anymore. Somebody told me that actually being shaved with a straight razor is now illegal in Oregon. That it's like a health thing. Because, you know, some guy has hepatitis or whatever, and you shave him with that. But which is ridiculous, because they clean the blade in alcohol, and it goes through a whole, like, they put it in an autoclave or something, and it, like, you know, they heat it to, like, 6,000 degrees. It's stupid, but I don't think you can get that service anymore. Anyway, and then they give you this, I can't believe I'm spending this much time talking about stupid salon. Anyway, and then they give you a da-da-da-da-da. But they give you a thing that is a manicure, basically, but they don't call it that, because they know that no guy wants it. I'm getting a manicure. So it's like something with, like... And then, this is the weirdest thing about it, though. When I got this, like, handicure done or whatever it was, this hand... See, I keep wanting to say it. When I got this hand service done... What else am I going to say? When I got this manicure, that they don't call a manicure done at this place, the weirdest thing about it was, the girl who gave me the manicure looked exactly... like Christina Carlson, former producer here in the Rick Emerson Show, but she was black. It was the weirdest thing. It really was at like looking at a photo negative of Christina. It was so bizarre. It was freaking me out. Because Christina Carlson is just I'm presuming still now, is just the whitest of people. Her and that dopey husband of hers.
Maybe she's knocked up. Have you talked to her lately?
I thought you said maybe she'd become black. You haven't seen her.
Yes, Rick. Maybe she's
become black. Maybe maybe she is what one of the Mormons would call a son of Ham. You know she's probably got 10 kids by now. I mean, every year for years I would get those Christmas cards from her and that nitwit she's married to, and then like their dogs. And they're, you know, sitting there in matching Christmas sweaters, sitting on a log in front of some pine trees out, you know, like on a snow-capped hill somewhere. People like that have to become pregnant. It's the law. But this girl was giving me the manicure, and she looked exactly like Christina, except she was a black lady. And it was so weird. It was freaking me out, and I kept staring at her. And she would look at him, and I'd look away. Because there's really no way to explain that. Pardon me, sir.
You look like someone I know.
Why are you staring at me? You look just like a white woman that I know. It's weirding me out. Do you mind if I just fix you with a steely gaze? There was no explanation. All right. What else do I have? Well, that's it. I don't have to do anything else here except to say that I did bike today, so up yours. By the way, while I'm talking about... do I have time? We got a break in like 2-3 minutes, right? Well, I don't have time to ask that. I'll just say this. I'll give this observation. This is from John. Rick, do you ever watch the show House? No, another show that... I have this whole list of shows that I'm going to watch when I get fired. Someday when I'm fired, I'll rent them all on DVD and spend time watching them. House seems like a really good show.
Is that the one...
It's the doctor.
Okay.
Hugh Laurie is the doctor. And I love Hugh Laurie. I loved him back when he was...
I've seen that show, and I've seen one good episode and another one. He just grates on my nerves.
Really? Because he's kind of an ass. That's his thing.
Really obnoxious. Yeah, and I appreciate... You're like a Dr. Cox kind of guy who's, you know, kind of an ass on the show.
Totally.
He was just kind of annoying.
That's too bad. I was a big fan of him when he played George on Blackadder. But anyway, he says, if you caught last night's episode, Dr. Babe Chick says to Dr. Doogie Howser guy, hey, I'll see you next Tuesday, after something had pissed her off. He says, I was laughing my ass off, shocked that that phrase made it on the television. That is all, carry on. Signed, Glorious Gresham Bastard, John. You know, it's funny because I was actually just thinking about that the other day. Just a couple days ago, I was actually kind of kicking around. One of the things my brain does when I'm not doing anything else, it just sort of idles on weird crap. And I was sitting there just sort of thinking in the back of my brain how long it was going to be before some television writer had a character tell another character, hey, I'll see you next Tuesday. And lo and behold, it's happened. I think I make things happen just by thinking about them. It's like that. It's like that movie Brainstorm with Christopher Walken. Hi. Right now, I'm thinking about Sarah Dillon being covered in garden slugs. We'll see what happens. Do I have to break?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Hey, this guy's been on hold about Lynchburg. That's going to have to wait a second, my friend. We'll get to this Lynchburg call around the corner with the less common L-I-N-C-H spelling on the screen. Thank you. Back after this with this call, Lisa Goddard and so forth. You say there's... Her thighs red and trembling. Thank you, Sarah. 503-733-2970. Don't forget, go to 970.am, sign up to be an AM 970 glorious bastard. You too can win a bag of Sarah's fingernails. 503-733.
You're really not going to do that, are you?
They're right here. Well, what else am I going to do? I can't throw them away. You went to trouble to bring them back. What did the guy say when you said you wanted to keep the fingernails?
He thought I was joking. He was really naughty. And I'm like, oh, no, give those back to me. He's too jumpy. He's like, you want them jokingly? And I'm like,
yeah, absolutely.
Actually, I really do want those.
I have to have those fingernails. Give them to me, Jim.
Gotta have it, Jim.
Come on, Jim. All right. I don't know if anybody knows what we're talking about. And then just when I think no one knows what we're talking about, I get this email. Subject line, all caps. Come on, Jim! Rick, I've been laughing at the come on, Jim for a long time and was glad that you and Sarah found it funny as well. I'm now reading Atlas Shrugged. Ka-chink! Segue. I'm now reading Atlas Shrugged, and there's a character named Jim. Every time there's a conversation that has the word Jim in it, all I can hear is either you or Sarah saying, give it to me, Jim. That, while distracting, is welcomed as this 1,000-page tome needs some levity. Thanks so much. Have a great show today, Jim. Signed, Allison. Well, Allison...
I'm so glad somebody else caught
it. Allison, I'm glad we could help. Give it to me, Jim, is the new Let Me Dance for You. For old-school Rick Emerson listeners.
Jim!
Jim! I have it right now! It's fantastic. All right, Scotty, are we going to be having speaks with Lisa? Oh, in really? In two shakes of a lamb's tail? All right, just checking. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, I used to live in Lynchburg. You're wondering what the vibe is there.
Lynchburg, Virginia, really?
Yep.
Okay, is there something wrong with Virginia? I mean, are people there just weird in some way?
Yes.
Okay. What is the vibe in Lynchburg like? First of all, how many people live there?
It's about the size of Gresham, about 70,000, 80,000.
All right, so not a real populous place.
Not really.
Okay, so is it, I mean, here's a really, really dumb question. Is it unbelievably conservative?
Yes, it's Virginia's answer to Provo. In every way.
You know, and the best part about it is I'm wearing a BYU shirt today.
Really?
Yeah, I'm wearing a Brigham Young University shirt, as you say. It's
awesome.
Virginia's answer to Provo. So, I mean, what is the main industry other than, you know, like building wooden crosses? What is the main industry in Lynchburg?
There's over 500 churches preaching and evangelizing.
Me?
No, not at all.
That's insane.
Seriously, seriously, one on every single corner.
That almost makes me want to go there. I mean, not to stay, but that almost makes me want to, like, take about 10 hours and just kind of do a slow drive through there some afternoon on the way to somewhere better.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you were born there and raised there?
No, just lived there for a while.
Why?
I don't really know. I was stupid.
No, but I mean, seriously, what chain of events led you? There are about 50,000 cities in this country. What led you to live in Lynchburg?
Well, I mean, just kind of moved there for a job for a little while, and I kind of drifted around Virginia for a while, so...
That's a sad time in your life. What'd you do? Well, I just spent a lot of time going to random places in Virginia.
Yeah, well, I lived in Roanoke, Blacksburg, Lynchburg.
Roanoke, okay, that's where they had that lost colony, though.
Yeah.
Okay, badass. And now you live here in Portland.
Yep.
God bless you, sir. Is it the best place you've ever lived?
By far.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
All right, there goes Matt. All right, fantastic. All right, it's 503. Give it to me, Matt. All right, it's 503-733.
That sounds wrong. Two other men's names in it.
Like it doesn't sound wrong with Jim. Okay, stop. Stop it. We have to get a hold of ourselves. Lisa Goddard's listening. I think she's about to come on to some unprofessional radio program. You think that we've been hoisted by our own thing? All right, let's all stop. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, from the Hill, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Program CNN Radio correspondent, the one and only Lisa Goddard. Why, hello there.
Well, hello. You know, I'm such a geek that as I was listening, I looked up the census figures for Lynchburg, and if there are, in fact, as has been asserted, 500 churches in Lynchburg, that's one church for, like, every 120 people.
It doesn't sound like it's too... I mean, it does seem...
It sounds possible to me. But I'm just saying, that is a lot of churches, if that's true.
I've lived in small... The weird thing is, in my experience, the smaller the town, the more churches per capita there tend to be. In other words, relatively speaking, there are probably... I would not doubt at all that there are more churches in Lynchburg than there are in, I don't know, I was going to say Boston, but that's a bad example. But I mean, you said like Miami. You know,
no.
Take Miami versus Lynchburg. I'll guarantee you there are more churches per capita in Lynchburg than Miami.
Maybe, or Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, no, the Las Vegas actually.
Yeah, that's true.
Las Vegas actually has, Las Vegas has per capita, I believe, the most churches of any city in the country. I remember seeing that somewhere. I think it may have actually just been on an episode of Lucky when I used to air on FX. But
a chapel does not count as a church, is the thing.
What's the difference between a chapel and a church, Lisa?
Well, you know, a chapel, you can get married in a chapel. Like I can have a chapel in my house. It doesn't mean it's a church.
I would ask you then, Miss CNN reporter, what is the difference between a chapel and a church?
I would say a chapel is almost, your listeners are going to call me on this. I know there's going to be people with much more information than I have on this. I am really running with this, at my backside. But chapel, I would say, more a designation of the space. A church, actually, you've got to have a pastor, you've got to have the whole nonprofit status, you've got your tax documents so that you don't get taxed. It's a religious organization is a church. A chapel, just a building.
So you believe a chapel is any space designated perhaps for prayer or reflection?
Or designated as just called a chapel.
All right.
Anything called a chapel is a chapel.
So I wonder, I can't believe I'm spending this much time on such a ridiculous semantic issue.
Sorry.
But So a church then, as a religious organization, you have to be sort of chartered or whatever. You have to have some sort of, I guess you don't have to have a license, but a church, as a, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to stop this conversation now because I realize
it's
that this
is a lot of churches.
It's ridiculous. Since CNN does not believe that the West Coast affiliates to their fine network, or in fact the Midwest affiliates, are deserving of any news from the East Coast, I can only speculate on what the vibe in Lynchburg, Virginia might be today. I would love to be able to talk to somebody, perhaps, Amanda Moyer, to find out exactly what's going on there. But we here on the West Coast apparently are not high enough up the regional food chain.
Am I getting this right? You're telling me that Amanda Moyer, my fellow CNN correspondent for radio, is not able to talk to you today?
I don't really know that it's that she is not able to talk to us. I know that, how do I put this? Amanda might be willing to talk to us, but we will not be apparently talking to Amanda.
Oh, wow.
I can just kind of link. Sarah, was that a fair way to phrase that? Amanda might be willing to talk to us, but apparently she won't be.
Okay. Wow, I'm tempted to.
No, I don't wish to get anybody in trouble.
Right.
Because, see, you say these things, Rick, and I'm the one that talks to Laura.
Well, that's why I say them.
Exactly.
It's true.
Because I don't ever have to talk to her.
I can email Amanda right now, but okay, all right. Okay.
You know, for today, it's okay. I've worked around it. I'm just saying that I don't mean to complain to you. I'm simply saying.
You just feel like the West Coast is a little rejected.
I feel, but it's not just me. It's my West Coast brethren.
I'm going to try and fill in for Amanda. I can tell you this. That, you know, because we have to do these political podcasts on CNN.com, and someone else usually does them, but Dick Giuliano and I are doing them this week. And I set up to do sort of a critique of last night's Republican debate in South Carolina.
Right.
I set this up Monday. I said, wouldn't it be fun to talk to the nation's top college debating team? And it turns out there is one that just dominates, basically has a unified title belt of the three scoring systems in debate. I don't know. It's this amazing debate team. Turns out, and I talked to them Monday before Jerry Falwell's death, turned out it's Liberty University debate champions. And so I had a big, long conversation with those guys this morning, the debate team, about the presidential debate and about how everybody's doing down there.
That's Jerry Falwell,
I can shed that light.
Thank you. Thank you. And again, just to clarify,
yes,
I don't mean to sound petty about this, but there are any number of stations on the West Coast probably that are interested in not just this story, but many stories that happen on the East Coast.
Right.
And, you know, we are given short shrift on those things.
I was trying to get you into a happy, funny.
No. I just wanted to clarify. I have a great debate observation to make here, but I did want to clarify that I don't mean to kvetch about this.
No. I think you've got a case here. I really do think that, I think the East Coast bias is not only real, it is a giant bias. And I think there is a serious problem there. And I think, you know, Amanda's a new, it's a new position. And I was really surprised that we didn't put the new correspondent in, say, Denver or Chicago, somewhere like that. Even another person in L.A. to help out Jim. I'm not the boss. I'm not the boss. I know they had reasons. I don't know what they are.
It's okay. I was just making an observation. Let me just ask this about debate. When you said you talked to the Liberty University debating team.
Yes.
Was this the Lincoln Douglas team or was this the policy team? Do you know?
This is the policy team.
No, that's not real debate.
Oh, come on. No, are you kidding?
Policy debate is for... That's not what men do. Men do Lincoln-Douglas debate. All right? You write that down in your little book of truisms. Policy debate is for sissies.
All I know is that these kids have won three different debate titles in the last year, and no school apparently has ever done that before. So I say, perhaps we should have a debate about debating between you and them.
Okay, we have just entered, as Dennis Miller might say, the sanctum sanctorum of nerdiness right here. We really have just I don't even remember what the hell we were supposed to be talking about.
We wanted to find out about Lynchburg churches.
Lynchburg, something, debating,
right. Well, okay.
Blah, blah, blah.
Well, it could bring us to the Capitol if we want to completely change subject. We had two Iraq votes today.
That's what it was.
In the Senate.
Now that you've got me in my head, I'm just focused on this Lincoln Douglas versus policy thing, and I'm trying not to keep going back to that like a cat with a ball of yarn. First of all, let's clarify something. Because this is one of those stories that is already out sort of in the ether, and I don't even know if it's true. Is it true that the Iraqi government is taking 2 weeks or 2 months vacation?
It's not true anymore, apparently. They were planning on doing that, but because there was such furor over them doing that at a time when their country, when they haven't formed really many of the critical laws that their nation needs to survive.
What would have told them that was a good idea? Like, how did they arrive at the idea that taking 60 days off was what they ought to be doing.
Well, I suppose it's possible to imagine that lawmakers are thinking, how can I get out of Baghdad for a long period of time?
that probably is true. I don't know that I can top that answer. So the latest attempt here is, this is an amendment that would push President Bush to sort of lay out exactly what he's going to do if the Iraqi government doesn't get their act together. But the difference is this is actually Republicans doing this, right?
That's right. And it's fascinating. There were two votes today. And the way I'm explaining this, basically the Senate had to draw some lines finally today on where it stands. The first vote is I'll get to the one you're talking about, which is probably in some ways the more important. The first vote was on that idea to cut off funding for combat troops after April of next year, which Feingold, a lot of your Democrats like that idea. They want to say we're ending the war after April, essentially. But that vote only received 29 votes in the Senate. So 29-67, it went down in flames. The Senate clearly rejecting the idea of cutting off funding. Right after was this other vote by Republicans, which would set benchmarks or goals as benchmarks. I'm kind of sick of that word, but it would set essentially very specific goals for the Iraqi government to meet. And it said if those were not met, the president would have to report back to Congress and would have to change the strategy in Iraq. That's a Republican motion, and it got 52 votes. The only reason it failed is because Democrats did not climb on board saying it was too weak, that it didn't end the war. But the fact is it really is a huge step for Republicans that have so far maybe talked about opposition to the president, but they haven't voted in opposition yet in any major way until now. So it does indicate a shift, even if it's, to some people's view, a small one. In the Senate, I think it's a very significant shift that Republicans are now saying, look, time's up. We're going to hold your feet to the fire on this more than we have before.
Well, you know, because the thing is that we're midway through 2007. I mean, the Bush administration at this point is really, they're running out the clock. Whether that's their goal or not, that is just a fact. We're going to blink our eyes and it's going to be somebody else's problem. So,
right. And we're full of canyons today, but which brings up this whole new energy directive that he put out earlier this week, basically directing agencies to cut fuel usage and increase efficiency and cut greenhouse gases. And it was interesting, if you listen to the whole press conference as I did, he said, well, he wasn't giving a lot of specifics, and he said toward the end, I've directed the agencies to come up with these plans and to have all of those plans done by the end of 2008.
Yeah.
One month before he leaves office.
Yeah,
here's what we should do. Here's our plan.
That's wonderful. You almost have to admire that. That's just a sort of chutzpah that you almost have to just sort of get behind that and just say, well done then. Scotty, is this a terrible call? This guy here that I'm looking at on the screen that wants to be put on? Am I going to regret this? All right, hold on a second. Lisa, hang on just one moment. This is Dave. Scotty assures me this is not a terrible call. Please don't prove him wrong.
Well, I might prove him right, but anyways, this is more for Lisa.
Okay.
Because I don't know if you found a last name yet.
Okay, no.
All right.
But now, it's kind of a pun, but if you use it by itself, it would be good. And if you hyphenate your name, it would make Rich's intro for you even better. You could make your last name Underhill. And then if you hyphenate it, it would be Lisa Goddard Underhill.
Oh.
Dave?
But the first thing that comes, I feel like it's so very Frodo Baggins.
Lisa Goddard is stout-hearted. all right, Dave?
Hey, thanks.
Dave, yeah, that's not what I was... Dave, thanks.
Go ahead, keep your arm up.
Thank you, thanks so much. Okay, and we're done. All right, that's it. I'm sorry about that, Lisa.
When else was I going to get the chance to talk to Dave? In my whole life, I probably never would have really talked. We wouldn't have crossed paths except for then.
No, that is true. You really are a glass half full kind of person. I have some final notes. Oh, yeah, real quickly, because I know that there is a segment of the audience that would really be interested in this. Where can people find your political podcast that you're doing with Dick Giuliano?
Oh, right. Oh, geez. I think you go to CNN.com, and it's at the very bottom of the page. There's a little line that says podcast.
All right.
Look into that, and you'll find them.
And finally, is it true that you were doing some sort of televised program on the weekends?
Yes. How about I am filling in on weekends for CNN television from time to time. You know, basically, I'm cheap labor. They don't have to pay me any extra. They bring me in.
Excellent.
To work.
All right. So is that when should people tune in if they want to watch that?
The next time I'm doing that, they're rotating three of us on weekends. So the next time, myself, Brianna Keeler, who is easy on the eyes, and also very, very delightful.
Excellent.
Okay, next time I think is June something. I'm trying to flip through my calendar. It's a little ways away. It's
all right.
June something.
Well, give us the heads up as it approaches.
Okay.
All right, Lisa Goddard, ladies. Lisa Goddard on the hill. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. Fantastic. All right, yes. There you go.
I just found something you might be excited about.
This idea. What?
They're releasing a new Guitar Hero, and they have some more songs on it. One of them, Holy Diver.
Yeah!
And they have I Wanna Rock, Twisted Sister, I Ran, Round and Round, Rat, I Want Candy, Metal Health, and Heat of the Moment.
Really?
You're going to have to go buy that. You are never leaving your house
The
ever.
New Guitar Hero is all 80s, I think.
Yeah.
The new expansion pack is all, it's called 80s Rock or the 80s Rock or something like that. Yeah. Have you played Guitar Hero? Well, no, you probably wouldn't be that into it.
No, I've seen people playing Guitar Hero.
It's pretty addictive. It is. It's pretty, you wouldn't think it would be. But
no,
I mean,
it really
is like a Tetris meets,
Dance
Revolution. No, it's true. It's just, it really is pretty great. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm not going to get it, though.
You will never leave your house.
At least not until Halo 3 is officially released, because that's when I'll get the... Because I'm not getting the Xbox 360 until that point, either. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-7... Oh, I got this too late. Rick, I saw a report last night where Lisa was talking about corn and farmers. Okay, fantastic. Just to clarify, apparently at Hair M, they call it the Royal Hand Treatment. I don't think that's right. I think you're making that up. Here's another one. Rick, they call it... Oh, this is what they call it. At Hair M, when you get your hand... hand service, whatever, they call it... this is correct. They call it hand detailing, because it's like a card detailing thing. Rick, a couple emails, and then we'll break. We'll come back with the Reverend Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. This says, Rick... Did you watch McGurk v. Sharpton on Friday on Hannity and Combs? I wouldn't mind hearing your thoughts on it. No, I did. I see, but in fact, I was so excited about it for whatever. I mean, that was just retarded. I don't know why I was excited to watch that. Hannity and Combs on Friday, where they had Bernard McGurk, who was the former producer of the Imus show until it got canceled a couple weeks ago, and Al Sharpton, who's the guy who sort of spearheaded the movement that got that canceled. Anyway, and I watched that, and I realized why I never watch panel shows. I just don't do it anymore. I don't watch Real Time with Bill Maher. I don't watch whatever. It's not Crossfire anymore, but whatever's replaced Crossfire. I don't watch The View. I don't watch any of those. Because you can't watch for more than 30 seconds without your blood pressure just skyrocketing and my fist clench, and I just want to break things. And Al Sharpton, who at one point I was sort of bullish on, because he does have such a great way of speaking, and he's a real silver tongue in that way, and I do agree with some of his political views, and he was so great at the Democratic convention in 2004, but man, that guy, he was just such an ass. He was just such an unbelievable ass on that show. And Bernard McGurk is really unpleasant to look at, too, because he's like 70, and he's doing that thing where he's got like the shirt unbuttoned all the way down.
Nothing. And little chest fuzz?
Well, not chest fuzz, but the wrinkly neck skin.
Mm.
You get the wrinkly, like, tanned neck skin. That was unpleasant. And then Al Sharpton, this guy totally nails it. He said, if he could have, Al Sharpton would have bound and gagged himself on camera just to try to show that he was a victim in this interview. At one point, I swear I saw Al Sharpton actually holding his breath like a spoiled bratty four-year-old trying to get what he wanted. What an ass. No, it really is true. And I watched the entire hour show in about, 10 minutes, because I couldn't watch for more than a minute or two before it just made me insane. I just had to turn it off. Speaking of which, do we have any news about Opie and Anthony today? Is there anything in the news about it? I mean, do we have...
Well, nothing particularly new.
All right.
I mean, it has been the news.
People have sort of been asking me if there's any... I don't even... Were they on CBS this morning?
Apparently so.
So they did the radio show, but not the satellite show.
Right, they've been suspended.
Glad you're paying however much that costs a month, plus the receiver for that. How weird is that, that they got suspended? First of all, and it's not like I'm a big defender of satellite radio, but I mean, that they got suspended for saying something on a channel that is clearly labeled adult content. I mean, there's like a big XL that flashes or whatever it says when you go there. You tune in the Open Anthony channel, whatever it is on XM. They're XM.
They're on CBS or on WFNY, which is that CBS station that just fired their
noon to three
show.
JD and Elvis?
Opie and Anthony.
No, but I mean...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, this doesn't make any sense at all, and I know that we're just doing industry talk. We're just doing a little shop talk here, but I mean... Okay, just... Well,
The Dark House with J.B. and Elvis.
Which is not a bad show.
But it's gone. It's yanked in the airwaves.
You know, can I just reveal a little something here? That in the early days of reshaping this station, when it was just in 970, to now... you know, because originally it was, I think it was Lycus, and then there was Hendry, but then it was all just the comedy radio stuff. There was no other actual long-form talk programming. And a lot of programs were sort of considered, and, you know, these sort of discussions happened back and forth, and a lot of them we thought about or didn't go with, or things didn't come together or whatever. At one point, I know somebody floated the idea of Imus. At one point, we floated the idea of these talking to these JV and Elvis guys. Mm-hmm. So let me just say now, I'd like to thank whatever force in the universe indicated to us that we should not pick up Imus or JV and Elvis, because they'd have like a big 7-hour goddamn hole in the radio station. So,
well, apparently, Opie and Anthony are being replaced by Ron and Fez on XM. Now everybody's confused.
I don't understand what's going on. Should we just break and we'll come back and do this in the news hour? Or do you want to...
Well, let's... I can finish this now. So okay. What are the questions?
Okay, so here's, just for those who are listening, and again, this is a lot of radio talk, which I know that interests, I know that some people listen to, but it does interest us, so that's why we're talking about it. If it doesn't interest you, that is, as they say, I can't say what they used to say. Because I'm not a satellite, although there's no guarantee I could say it there either. Anyway, so that's tough beans, as they used to say. Okay, so Opie and Anthony... who got blown out by CBS. CBS seems to be at the center of all of these stories, don't they?
Yeah.
All of these stories are about CBS.
Yeah, we're screwed.
No, CBS stands behind talent, sir. So CBS, who fired... I wonder how many times in this story I'm going to use the phrase CBS fired. CBS fired Opie and Anthony a couple years ago because that thing where they had the couple...
In the church.
Pumping it out in the church. Yeah. Although it's not clear that that ever even happened. That's the weird thing about that. That's not clear whether it even actually took place. But, you know, what are you going to do?
So are they saying it was theater of the mind?
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't matter. They got fired for it.
They didn't take DNA from a pew or anything.
No. Well, and really, that could be almost anybody's DNA.
Oh, that is true.
let's see. So, anyway, Father McAllister?
Yes.
Okay, so Opie and Anthony got fired a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They go to XM.
Yeah.
And they now do a satellite show, I mean, in the generalized sense. They do a satellite show on XM, but here's the deal. They do a 5-hour show every day. The last 2 hours are also on some CBS radio stations.
WFNY New York is the flagship for that.
Yeah. So the deal is they do 3 hours on XM, then they literally walk down the street. They have to do it from a different building. They walk down the street, and then they do 2 hours on, like, regular radio. So, okay. So then Imus gets fired. Then these guys, JV and Elvis, who were pretty funny,
this is Free FM, Talk That Rocks in New York.
Right.
And it opens to Opie and Anthony. How about that?
So that's the thing. So anyway, so Imus gets suspended and fired. Then these JV and Elvis guys get suspended last week and fired, I think, on Friday.
So Opie and Anthony are around from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. on this Free FM.
So, yeah, so Opie and Anthony have some homeless guy on the other day who's talking about punching Condoleezza Rice in the face.
Mm-hmm.
They get suspended. No, I'm sorry. They got criticized.
Right.
They apologized, but XM didn't feel their apology was contrite enough. So they'd been suspended on XM for 30 days. But then CBS, who seems to be firing everybody for nothing these days, is keeping Opie and Anthony on their radio stations.
Well, I suppose...
It doesn't make any sense.
I suppose that routine didn't show up on the CBS radio program.
Well...
Because it was a separate show.
I guess maybe that's the logic, that the offending bit was only on XM, wasn't on CBS. But that shouldn't make any difference, we'd think. I mean, I'm not saying CBS should defend them. I don't think they should have been suspended from anything. But I'm saying you would think, in terms of consistency, that wouldn't make any difference, right? You would think that they're suspending the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so on XM, they're being replaced by Ron and Fez?
Yeah.
And they're on WJFK, which is Donna Mike's flagship station.
This whole thing, and they're also on Free FM.
This whole thing is so confusing. I have no idea what's going on anymore. I mean, and I understand, and spare me the long lectures about how XM is, XM is a company, and they have the right to suspend whoever they want. And that's fine. I mean, they're a company, and the Opie and Anthony are employees, and so obviously a company can suspend you if they want to. It's not like it's a governmental sanction or something. It's not like it's the FCC. But it just doesn't make any sense, especially because they're on XM. Their whole deal was they were shock jocks, and they were outrageous, and they were put in there to say outrageous things, and they didn't even say it. It was a guest who said it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big goddamn label on the channel that says XL, you know, explicit language. Don't listen if you're offended. Now, this is, let's get this clarification, then we got a break. Tyson, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, I listen to ONA every day, or I used to before they got suspended.
Yeah.
They start at CBS, and then they walk over to XM.
Okay, so they do the CBS show, and then they walk down the street, and they do the satellite show.
Right, and Ron and Fez have always been on the channel that is they're on. They just do a lot less of a show.
All right.
And then now they're just repeating that show instead of having the Opie and Anthony show.
All right. I wonder if I was, and I am not, and again, not like I got some huge axe to grind about satellite radio. This is not a thing I'm interested in paying for, but you would think if you were a satellite radio subscriber, you'd be all kinds of irritated about this, and you'd be calling up and giving them a piece of your mind. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. I mean, that's like if I subscribe to HBO solely because I'm interested in The Sopranos, and then HBO just decides not to give it to me. I mean, that just would make me furious.
Yeah, the satellite subscription that I had is getting canceled because of this.
Well, yeah. Well, good for you. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right.
There you go. All right. This doesn't make any sense at all.
John and Jeff aren't getting canceled.
Thank God. Thank God for that. All right. It's 503-733-2, and the garden line is still on the air. Is the garden line still on the air? Does that show even exist anymore? You know, the garden line?
Those weekend shows never go away.
No, they're there forever. All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. It's 503-733-2970. We're just minutes away from the Reverend Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Here's Queen. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming along. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, he is your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator, the Reverend Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Alex Stevens, Washington high school teacher on leave while the district investigates a remark he made to a class. A parent complained that teacher Gary McDonald told students he would take anyone in his class and line them up against the wall and shoot him. Apparently, the teacher is making plans to retire next month anyway.
Yes, with 2 days to retirement, huh?
Mm. And speaking of shooting, it's not the kind of Mother's Day surprise anyone would want to give their wife. A man in Colton shot his wife in the leg while cleaning his gun on Mother's Day. The man apologized to his wife during the 911 call, saying, "Honey, I'm sorry." Clackamas County deputies said the incident appears to be an accident. Didn't issue any tickets. It's always a good reminder to be careful when loading guns, especially if you're near your wife.
Shoot my wife, please.
The rapist ran for school board in St. Helens, defeated in the election yesterday. Yes, he's a former sheriff's deputy convicted years ago of raping his child's babysitter. He failed in his election bid for a position on the St. Helens School Board. Richard Matthews filed his candidacy on March 9th as part of the application process. He was required to disclose his current address, job status, educational background, prior government experience, but nothing more. There was no background check. And, of course, St. Helens being the small town it is, well, they began looking into things. Back in 1997, Matthews pled guilty to third-degree rape for a sexual relationship with his then-15-year-old babysitter that lasted over a year. He served 30 days behind bars. Only 30 days?
30 days?
30 days.
I don't understand the way this country works sometimes. I really don't. I mean, Paris Hilton drives drunk on a suspended license and only gets 40. Vince Neil killed somebody and he only got 30 days. This guy rapes somebody, or statutory rape anyway, gets 30 days. And I hate to use the tired, old, stupid example, but I mean, you get those guys out there, they get dinged with a bag of weed, and they go to jail for like 5 years.
Yeah. Jeez. So he lost by 1,000 votes.
Well, F him. Let's see. Tim, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
I know.
Hey, Rick. I just wanted to call and kind of get your opinion. You being a guitar player and I'm a guitar player, how does the transition work between, I mean, obviously it's just like three buttons and a little pick thing, but between the game and actual playing, I mean, could a player, like, play the game? And is it an online thing as well?
Well, let's not overstate it when we say that I'm a guitar player. I mean, really, I'm a guitar player the way that Scotty J is a radio host. Let's be very clear about that. Are you saying, is it hard to transition from being used to playing a normal guitar to playing Guitar Hero?
Well, kind of. And if I end up playing and liking Guitar Hero, is it going to dumb down my guitar skills?
Yes, it will, because Guitar Hero is basically, it's like Simon, that old game Simon, where it's like you would press the yellow and the green and the black squares or whatever the hell it was. That's what Guitar Hero is. And I got to tell you that, especially if they're songs that you typically would play, like if you play a lot of whatever, AC/DC covers or Guns N' Roses or whatever, the next time you go to play Back in Black, if you've been playing a lot of Guitar Hero, you're going to have to stop and look down for a second and retrain your head for a second. It really
is. Oh, brutal. Well, listen, I went to a local Fred Meyer to ask about that, the guitar thing, and I noticed that the dude walks behind me carrying three Nintendo Wiis. So I haven't seen a Wii since Christmas, and this was only like 3 weeks ago, so I said, hey, how about you sell your Uncle Tim one of them Wiis there? And he goes, well, sure. So I start talking about how excited I am about the Wii. We get to the counter, blah, 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 and we're also carrying various toiletries and groceries. So the guy loses track of what he's doing, starts talking me into a warranty package. We agree to the warranty package. He quotes me $250 for the Wii. And $182 for the groceries, brings us up for $182, gives us the Wii, we leave.
Well done, sir. I mean, wrong.
What a douche.
Bad. Man, I don't know what I would do in that situation.
I told my mom that, and I'm 32, and she actually had me fax over the receipt because she didn't think that I should be spending my money on a Wii. So.
But you didn't spend, luckily for you, you didn't spend your money on a Wii.
I didn't.
So the guy just completely forgot to ring it up.
Yeah, he got lost in the transition between trying to sell me the warranty package, which the Wii actually comes with anyway.
Do you feel bad about it at all?
You know, my girlfriend actually took the worst of it because she was like, she actually kind of set it down for a minute, and we were kind of in disbelief, and we actually went to bed, and when we got up, we kind of looked at each other, and we actually went downstairs to see if it was still there, and of course there it was. It was real, and she goes, you know what? She goes, I think I'm going to watch my P's and Q's and pay all my bills early this month because something's going to happen. And so we walked around on eggshells for like a week thinking, okay, you know, God's going to get us.
Oh, no. Well, so God hasn't gotten you. He was busy getting Jerry Falwell, so.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you. There you go. That's Tim. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley.
So this wanted escape felon is tasered not once, but twice, and tears out the taser probes and takes off on the cops.
Oh. Yeah.
Apparently, this guy's bad news. His name is Bobby Joe.
Of course, he's bad news. That's how you can tell right there.
Well, Bobby Joe.
Don't be a
hero. Considered armed and dangerous. Was driving on 184th and Northeast Gleason. Deputies tried to pull him over. He wouldn't stop. Finally, they get him further down the road. They tell him to get out of the car. And he does. After they're warned that he's going to be tasered. Of course, he didn't care. They tasered him once, twice.
Three
he wouldn't give up.
Three times a taser.
So then he tears up the taser probes and takes off on foot. They finally catch up with him, and they escaped after they tore the shirt right off his back.
Now, I got to... Okay, come on.
Last seen at 129th and Southeast Division.
First of all, you know that because that's his name. He's one of those... He's undoubtedly one of those felons that the cops know. They're sort of familiar with him. So there can
Bobby
be...
Joe.
So there can be that great moment where the cops have opened the doors and they're crouched down behind the doors of their squad cars with the guns out, and they say, Bobby Joe, it isn't worth it! You know, that whole which...
Always him happens. It is.
And secondly, it's always worth it to Bobby Joe. Secondly,
he tore the shirt right off his back and he kept going.
Well, my question is, when they shoot those taser darts at you, how do those lodge into your skin? How does that happen?
It's never happened to me, so I wouldn't know.
Tim, tell us exactly. I mean, because that's the deal, right? The taser darts stick into you, and then they go, and they zap you.
Certainly, there's some felons in the audience.
If you...
Not that we have that choice demographic, but there may be a couple listening.
By some chance. Looking for KBOO and landing on us by mistake.
Yes.
If you've been hit with a taser and know how those work, I'm curious to know, like, I had a bare-chested person, and I just go, bam, and I hit them with that taser thing. Do those taser darts just touch you, or do they just stick into your skin just enough to to zap you and then they fall out? Or do they really, like, go into your skin? Like, are they needles, or are they hooks, or what are they? I'd be curious to know.
Well, Bobby Joe has ties to Southeast Portland, as one might imagine, and frequently spins 70 or 129th in division. Knowing that, they want you to go find him because they give up.
Excellent.
Fantastic. Another tip from Southeast, where all the good stories come from. A 15-year-old girl taken to the hospital after she was attacked by two pit bulls. This happened in Southeast 99th in Woodstock. Oh, that's a bad area. Witnesses said the girl was bringing food to her friends in the apartment complex. Well, the neighbor's dog jumped through a window and attacked, and then a second dog from the home jumped under two. The pit bulls have been secured in the neighbor's yard. They should have been shot, really. I would have done it myself had I had a gun. They were taken away to Multnomah County Animal Quarantine to be given away to unsuspected family with children. The girl suffered bites to her chest and arms, but her injuries aren't life-threatening, so that's a good thing.
I didn't think you could own pet bulls in most cities anymore. I thought it was just pit bulls.
We're talking about Southeast. It's really not a city.
I suppose. It's just a jail with plaid pantries scattered throughout. I had
a minimum security lockup.
It's just sort of one big gen pop. Let's see. Well, let's get... Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Do you have the taser answer for us?
Yeah, Rick. Those tasers have a barb on them, just like a fish hook.
Right.
And there's several of those barbs. So when you try to pull them out, they hurt like hell. I don't know if you ever got a fish hook on you, but yeah, you can't just pull them out. You have to rip them out.
So this guy must be like the Bionic Man.
Totally.
Well, he's not like the crocodile hunter.
No.
Yeah,
he's a real man.
They're so drugged up, they don't care. They don't feel it.
They're all on the crack.
I think it's the meth. The methies are the worst.
The meth. All right, thank you.
Hey, love you guys.
Thank
best
you
show ever.
Very much. Appreciate it.
Maybe they should make special barbs just for meth users since they're in that part of town.
What a terrible meth you've made of the situation.
I can't beat that one.
No, of course not. Really, there's nowhere to... hold on. This is... Well, you know, these are just... No, these are just other taser... Okay, Scotty, I think we've answered the taser question, Scotty. All right, it's Tim Riley.
Well, a mystery hunk of metal has fallen from the sky and landed in Jilly Chisholm's backyard. She found sharp pieces of mystery metal sticking out of the ground. She thought it was from her husband's tractor, but police surmise the metal probably came off the small airplane, which apparently the pilot doesn't know he's missing. The part didn't hurt anyone, and no one has reported any planes crashing in the area. A stamped serial number, some handwritten numbers on the edge of the piece may lead investigators to the pilot. It could be a UFO.
Where is this at?
A Camus.
And they just...
Mystery metal.
Big pieces of metal. You know, at least it's not another one of those... there's always two things. There's either metal falling out of the sky of a plane, or there's that big chunk of greenish ice that somebody picks up and takes a long lick on before they realize it's just frozen latrine water.
Yeah. So somebody's flying right now and wondering why the cabin's depressurizing.
Why is the plane listing to the right so badly? What is this gauge spinning
around?
Well,
I'm sure Judy Chisholm could help. And then, Fido, how would you like to be hitchhiking when a cement mixer overturns and almost squashes you?
No, not at all.
Well, that's what happened to a hitchhiker yesterday near Salem. A truck was turning right from the eastbound Brook Lane Road onto the southbound I-5 on-ramp when the load shifted and caused the truck to tip over. It hit 48-year-old George Tenet, who was...
George Tenet?
Yeah, George Tenet.
The CIA director?
Well, he's experiencing some rough times here. He's hitchhiking. He's standing on the inside shoulder on top
of
the ramp.
Hello,
He was treated at the hospital.
George Tenet.
That's great.
Okay.
Okay, it's time for Jerry Falwell. Day two. Moving along, we have all kinds of wonderful speakers here.
In fact, why don't we just do that? Do you have a bunch of Falwell news?
I do.
Sarah, can we just make this a religious nutcase watch?
That would be wonderful.
I'll fold this story that I've got it over to it later on.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Here you go. Your religious nutcase watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
We have several people who want to chime in on this. First, the gay minister who ghostwrote the late Jerry Falwell's autobiography says Falwell's anti-homosexual public persona was a great source of evil, and he is glad his rhetoric has been silenced. Of course, he didn't have any problem writing the book. Nonetheless, the Reverend Mel White says Falwell was a great pastor and a family man who had a terrific private persona.
When he went public, he was a spokesman for homophobia and the spokesman for fundamentalism in America. So he had to put on that hat.
So this guy is gay, yet co-wrote or ghostwrote all of Falwell's gay-bashing books.
Yes.
So he's sort of the Lenny Riefenstahl of the moral majority.
Yes.
Right. I said he liked Falwell's private persona, but not the public one.
When I say I liked him, I liked his private persona, but his public persona was one of the great sources of evil for people I know.
Yeah, I'm sure he was just a riot in public. I'm sure he was a real card.
White said he liked the private Falwell much better.
His private persona, when he wasn't spouting fundamentalist ideology, I liked him. And he liked me. We had a real friendship. I mean, we'd call and joke, and we'd fly together and travel together.
go to wine tastings together.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Bed Bath & Beyond every now and again. And then, of course, the hot oil massages.
Then we have the Reverend Al Sharpton, who was on Larry King last night, saying the Reverend Falwell was a political foe, but he was down-to-earth and very friendly.
He did not come off as a guy that was too impressed with himself or took himself too seriously. That's why, as I said, as vehemently as we oppose each other politically, you couldn't dislike him if you got to know him.
Oh, I don't think that's true at all.
No.
Is there some sort of bat signal that goes up every time any news story happens now, and Al Sharpton is just the guy that slides down the pole and lands in front of the camera? He's become some sort of a weird evangelical Elton John. Just anytime anybody dies or anything happens, there he is.
So then we have Focus on the Family founder, Dr. James Dobson, who said his perceptions about the late Falwell were often wrong.
I never heard him one time say anything mean or hurtful.
Never?
To anybody. He had strong views, and some of those views were not politically correct. But I never heard him try to wound or hurt anybody. That's just not who the man was.
No, of course not. No, of course not. No, when he espoused segregation and was opposed to reforming... No. In
fact, just politically incorrect.
Supporting the apartheid government in South America. Why, that was just him being a rebel. That was just him being edgy.
Good he God. Remembers the Reverend as someone who stood up for his convictions.
All right. Maybe God has decided to silence James Dobson, too.
I see the social issues very much the way Jerry did, and appreciated the fact that he had the courage to stand up for them.
Yeah. Let's all admire him. By the way, we do have confirmation now that the Reverend Fred Phelps will be picketing and boycotting at Jerry Falwell's funeral.
That'll be terrific.
It is just a dream come true.
Could lightning strike twice?
No, I couldn't. I can't even be more happy about this. It's so great, especially because, and it does really beg the question of whether George Bush is going to be there.
That'd be great.
The amazing thing about this, we'll have some Christopher Hitchens audio about this review, is that Hitchens totally nails this, where he says that if you just say that somebody's a man of God, somehow then apparently we're all supposed to just turn a blind eye to the fact that he was an a-hole.
Right. Anytime you put the title Reverend in front of them, it's like, media gather, what I have to say is important. I am a man of the cloth.
And we're supposed to somehow, like, you'll hear that a lot. You know, you'll hear
it's like... Sure, respect for such a title.
Exactly. And that doesn't seem to be a Southern thing as well. There's a lot of that in the South. Well, you got to respect him. He is a man of God. So, F that. F it. Right in the ear. That's just retarded. So Fred Phelps, who's the he's the Westboro, or not Westboro, is it Westboro?
Yeah.
Whatever. He's going to be there. He's the guy that pickets all of the soldiers' funerals, and he says that the soldiers are blown to bits because America's a land of sodomites. I would like to say that that's one of our positive characteristics in this country.
Yes.
This is a whole country filled with sodomy, and we are better for it. God bless that sodomy. So Fred Phelps and his whole nutcase, quasi-inbred family, is going to be there protesting. And it's just, all I'm going to say is this. Just a whole lot of the world's problems are all going to be congregated in one small area. That's all I'm saying. One small area, a whole lot of the world's evil is all going to be in one place. Here's Tim Riley.
Then we have a former Christian Coalition head, Ralph Reed. And who knew that Mr. Falwell was a basketball player? He says the Reverend was a trailblazer.
He was a pioneer. He was a trailblazer. But he also birthed a movement. His work will go on.
I don't think about him birthing anything.
No, he was once a trailblazer.
Do we have more Falwell stuff?
That is it for now.
I got a little bit of this. Let me just...
it's so good.
I have not pre-screened this, so we'll just... I mean, it's clean, but I don't know what's in it. So this is
Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper last night interviewing Christopher Hitchens.
Who has a new book out.
Big thinker and author of the book, God Is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything. Boy, that is, he just picked the right month to release that.
Yep.
This is okay.
On the break, we were talking about the firestorm between Mitt Romney and Reverend Al Sharpton. Sharpton says his remarks that sparked the storm weren't aimed at Romney, who is Mormon. He says they were directed at the man he was debating at the time, Christopher Hitchens, an author, an outspoken atheist. The title of his latest book, God Is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything, pretty much sums up Hitchens' view of all things religion. I talked to him recently. The book, God Is Not Great, what is your problem with religion? I'm sure you've been asked this question a million times. I just want to read...
Christopher Hitchens is so great, he's just got the one look. He's just got the one look on his face where he just looks like some sort of really smug, hyper-literate turtle.
I'm British and better than you.
Exactly what it is. It's a whole lot of like, you are graced by my presence only because I deign to be here.
You in the colonies.
I have hair follicles that are smarter than you, Mr. Cooper. He no longer does the thing where he comes out with a cigarette and a glass of scotch, which is unfortunate.
Something from the book. He said, religion poisons everything as well as a menace to civilization has become a threat to human survival. Why do you see religion as purely a destructive force?
It can't keep itself to itself. It has to go out and try and convert others, try to impose itself on others. For example, if you take one case, the present Pope says, okay, AIDS in Africa is bad, but condoms much worse. That's going to mean a lot of people will die for a dogma of this kind. The present Pope is also saying we should teach children about hell all over again. That's ruined the lives and childhoods of millions of people. It's a wicked thing to be saying. And it's a falsehood as well.
But can you be...
Cartoonists in Denmark can't do their job without death threats. Believable ones, serious ones. Attempts to sabotage the whole Danish economy. Settlers on the West Bank are trying to bring on the Messiah and try for Armageddon and bring on the end of the world. They won't leave us alone. So I think that it's time that people who are secular and skeptical banded together a bit and said, enough already.
Do you see any benefit to believing in God?
I don't
know. Positive impact on society?
No, I like religious music, and there are several religious poets, John Donne and George Herbert, I suppose, would be the main ones.
He's so British. Could he possibly be snootier? Is there any way that Christopher Hitchens could be more pompous?
I couldn't manage. Gothic architecture.
Let me talk about architecture and some poets you've never heard
Bring
of.
Bring me my scones.
Not so much devotional painting, I must say, but that's cultural.
Let me talk about the works of Hieronymus Bosch.
And we owe religion a lot in that respect. And of course, we all have our transcendent moments. We're not going to be told what to do by people of so-called faith. And I do think we have a perfectly good alternative tradition. Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Paine, Albert Einstein, Spinoza, the rationalists, the Greeks. Science is just as beautiful, if not more so.
I want to read something else from the book. Religion comes from a period of human prehistory where nobody had the smallest idea what was going on. It comes from the bawling and fearful infancy of our species and is a babyish attempt to meet our inescapable demand for knowledge. There are, though, I mean, your view of religion seems to be the extremes or the fundamentalist.
Anderson Cooper is such a milquetoast interviewer. Could he be less interesting of an interviewer?
I mean, say that so long. All it takes is one phone call from his mom.
Glory's going to have me taken up back and killed.
To all faiths, do you not see anyone who believes in rationality?
Well, quaffed.
Questions?
I'm not talking about the extremists. And people like Aquinas and Augustine, the great fathers of the church, had no idea of germ theory of disease, so they thought disease was a punishment. The plague was a punishment from God for wickedness, or sometimes it had been started by the Jews. They believed in astrology. They believed in limbo for the souls of unborn children. They had no knowledge of the cosmos at all. They didn't...
Wait, hold on a minute. Is limbo the same thing as that dance you do where you go underneath a stick?
Yeah.
How is that... What the hell kind of nonsense is that there's a dance where you gyrate your pelvis under a stick, and it's also where you go between heaven and hell? That doesn't make any sense at all. How can the Catholics say that you're going to a place named after a stick dance?
I guess you have to buy the book.
Makes no sense to me. Christopher Hitchens on the Anderson Cooper last night.
But we have minds, and so people will often prefer a conspiracy explanation to none at all.
And yet, though, today...
We had one to none at all, but now we've outgrown all that. We don't need it. My kids know more about the natural order than Aquinas did.
And yet, people still want religion in their lives. They want a belief in their life.
Not trying to take it away from them. They mustn't think that they have any divine permission to intervene in mine. That's where the line will be crossed. And that's where I...
You know who this guy, his mannerisms are just like Ricky Gervais on The Office. He's like a really smart David Brent.
People think.
Would the world be a better place without religion?
Certainly it would, yes. If such a thing were possible, I really have to argue against myself in a way here. I know that that will never happen, and in some ways, I would miss it if it all went away. This is an argument about all the most important things, where we come from, what's the meaning of life, what are our duties to one another, and so forth. I just think you can do this.
All right, so there's that. So there's that right there, and then I think there's just a little bit here about where he talks about Jerry Falwell.
So there's only one thing that you can get away with, the most extraordinary offenses to morality and to truth in this country, if you'll just get yourself called reverend.
Say.
Who would, even at your network, have invited on such a little toad to tell us that the attacks of September the 11th were the result of our sinfulness and were God's punishment if they hadn't got some kind of clerical qualification? People like that should be out in the street shouting and hollering with a cardboard sign and selling pencils from a cup. The whole consideration of this horrible little person is offensive to very, very many of us who
Fantastic.
Have some regard for truth and for morality. You do think that ethics...
Oh, that's so great. I'm gonna let that buffer here for a second. Mm-hmm. This is Christopher Hitchens, who was on CNN last episode. The first one I thought was the Jerry Falwell, but I guess this is it. What did he call him? A horrible little toad?
Yeah. Out in the street, shouting and hollering with a cardboard sign and selling pencils from a cup. The whole consideration of this horrible little person is offensive to very, very many of us who have some regard for truth and for morality. If you think that ethics do not require that lies be told to children by evil old men, that we're not told that people who believe like Falwell will be snatched up into heaven, where I'm glad to see he skipped the rapture, just found on the floor of his office, while the rest of us go to hell. How dare they talk to children like this? How dare they raise money from credulous people on their huckster-like Elmer Gantry radio stations and fly around in private jets as he did, giggling and sniggering all the time at what he was getting away with. You get an idea now of what I mean to say.
Yeah.
Is that terrific? I think we all do, Chris.
Thank you so much.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's
I think that was the best that came out of this.
That's fantastic.
So we can thank Jerry Falwell for dying so we get to hear this.
Thank you, Jerry Falwell. Thank you. All right. 503-733-297. I'll play that again later on.
The little toad.
Little toad. What do you say? Sniggering and cackling with what he's getting away with. Oh, wait. Somebody has a limbo explanation. Limbo. Hi.
Hey.
Rick. Hi.
How you doing?
What's
up? You know, well, yeah, I mean, aren't you a fallen Catholic? Didn't you study Catholicism?
Yeah, but I've tried to blot it all out of my mind.
Yeah, well, me too. But getting my molestation letter last month from the Archdiocese asking if I was touched by a teacher 30 years ago.
Did you really?
Wait, yes, I did.
Really?
Yeah, they sent me a letter saying that in my high school, I'm not from these parts, that a lay teacher had touched some students and they had like a 1-800 number to call if you had any information.
Did you actually get a letter saying call this 800 number if you've been molested?
Yeah, would you like to see a copy of the letter?
Yes, I would.
Yes,
yes, I would.
Archdiocese of Philadelphia. There's, they have like about 10 times as many cases as they have here in Portland.
Interesting.
Much larger archdiocese.
Yeah, pass that along if you would.
Okay, and then limbo, you know, they say that we're born with original sin on our soul.
Yes.
So until you're baptized, that sin is not removed. So if you die as a child before you're baptized, you have sin, even though it's not sin that you've committed.
Yes, it is original sin, a uniquely
original
perverse
sin, the original
Catholic
sin of
concept.
Man.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
And so you have to go somewhere because you can't go to heaven.
No, I mean, I understand what limbo is. I'm saying, I guess maybe you've misread the question. I understand the concept of limbo because we're all fallen Catholics here, but my question is, why is there a dance named after it?
Oh, well, because I have no answer for that.
Oh, well, sadly, we've all missed each other in the dark here.
I will fax you a copy of my...
Of your molestation
my
query?
My bad touching letter. Oh, yes, my bad touching letter.
Thank you, sir.
All right, bye.
All right, there you go. That's Jim. Give it to me, Jim. Give me... I've got to have it, Jim. Send it to me now, Jim. All right, do we have to break? Well, let's not close out the religious nutcase watch. Let's break. We'll come back, and I'll finish it with this thing on the other side. You say there's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 97, the Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. We return. Is this Dio? Oh, fantastic. Dio available in the new Guitar Hero 80s expansion pack, by the way. You stay there. Don't go anywhere. Program 503-733-2970. Rick, do you think Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and Al get paid for their appearances on CNN and other news shows? Are they in retainer like Ann Coulter, other talking heads? What do you think? I don't think so. I would not imagine they get paid for that. It's not like being on Leno or something. On Leno, you get $500 or whatever the SAG minimum is.
No, $7.96. I checked it yesterday.
$7.96? Really? Why did you check it yesterday?
Well, I read across my old honorable withdrawal form that kind of leaves me in a state of limbo as far as the Screen Actors Guild goes. What you can do is you can still stay in the guild, but not pay any dues because you're not working.
So why wouldn't everybody do that? I mean, what's the advantage of...
Everybody could do that.
So do you... Now, are there benefits you're not getting right now because you're not an active member of SAG?
Except for work, which there is none.
So really, it's a wash.
There's no work here ever. They closed down the SAG office here a long time ago.
So there's just a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
Well, okay, fantastic. By the way, in case you missed it, we're playing this.
There's only one thing that you can get away with the most extraordinary offenses to morality and to truth in this country if you'll just get yourself called reverend. Who would, even at your network, have invited on such a little toad to tell us that the attacks of September the 11th were the result of our sinfulness and were God's punishment if they hadn't got some kind of clerical qualification? People like that should be out in the street shouting and hollering with a cardboard sign and selling pencils from a cup.
There's something about being British that lets you say little toad, you know? It's just a certain kind of spin you can put on words when you're speaking the Queen's English. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, speaking of the Queen's English, the term limbo, as far as dance goes...
Yes.
Well, the dance came from Trinidad, and it's kind of like pidgin English, because in Jamaican English, limbo means bend. Which comes from the English limber. So it's a combination of both.
Okay, all right. So it's always a sort of a bastardization of the term limber.
And limbo dancing is sometimes said to have originated from the horrifically cramped conditions of the slave ships that carried the Africans to the Americas.
Oh.
Yeah. And that's where it started.
Now it doesn't seem quite so jolly now, does it, Whitey? All right.
And today it's used as an icebreaker. The dance, though.
Okay.
It has pictures of white people attempting to do it.
Which... Just another example of Whitey taking everything. Whitey taking everything and making it into something retarded. Pardon me, Buffy, would you like to engage in a slave-oriented dance this evening at the frat? Great. I'll pick you up around 7. That'd be swell. Jesus. Rick, here's your chance. Chris Isaac is coming to the Edgefield in July. Just ask him what the hell the Wicked Game lyrics are and stop scraping our brains over these fruitless coals of quandary. Matt. Okay, I'm sorry, man. Mean to do with a bust on you. All right, here's the Reverend Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Oh, we done with the.
Oh no, let me read this, and then we'll close out the AM the AM 970 new news hour religious nutcase watch. Let me just read this. This is from Fort Worth. Fort Worth, because it is Man of God Week in honor of the passing of the Reverend, the very Reverend Jerry Falwell.
And there are more out there.
The week isn't over, is it?
Mm-mm.
A Fort Worth pastor accused of paddling and raping women under the guise of spiritual teaching has been suspended. By the National...
Just suspended?
Just suspended, like Opie and Anthony. Has just been suspended by the national body of the Church of God in Christ. Church of God in Christ.
You get that out of Christ this instant. The suspension comes more than 3 months after a Fort Worth woman sued the Reverend Sherman G. Allen of the Shiloh International Church of God in Christ, contending that he repeatedly beat her with a paddle and forced her to have sex with him. Eight more women have come forward with similar stories. According to the lawsuit filed by Davina Kelly, she went to Mr. Allen, the Reverend Allen, for spiritual counseling. At the sessions, he would talk to her and assign her biblical passages. If she didn't read them, she would be punished. Apparently, the Reverend gave her a Bible and asked her to turn to passages such as the one that yielded the phrase, "Spare the rod, spoil the child." It ended up being a lot of scripture on spanking for the most part, she said, parents disciplining their children. When he had me read them, it became obvious he meant for it to be spanking me. After the third meeting, she said, the pastor, Allen, told her to grab her ankles and swatted her once with a green wooden paddle. I was confused. And not terribly bright, she said. Afterward, he hugged me and told me he loved me. He just wanted me to obey. I would like to point out, by the way, that while I have sympathy for real victims of assault, she continued to voluntarily go to this man for 4 years, during which he paddled and had sex with her. I don't really know. I mean, do you suppose that that's... Well, never mind. I'll wait to get to the end. The paddling, which she voluntarily took part in, by the way, because she felt it was part of Jesus' plan. The paddling escalated from there, she said, with Mr. Allen, the pastor, ordering her to pull down her jeans and then her underwear. Mrs. Kelly said she was hesitant but believed so devoutly, like an idiot, in Mr. Allen's power that she viewed it as, wait for it, a spiritual father-daughter relationship. In addition to being a church member, Ms. Kelly volunteered cleaning the church. After Mr. Allen's wife died in 2003, she also started cleaning his house. Around March or April 2005, the pastor made sexual advances and eventually added sex as part of her punishment, she said. What kind of a messed up community and mindset do you come from where added sex is considered a punishment? According to a 1983 Fort Worth police report, a 21-year-old woman said she'd contacted Pastor Allen about voodoo. And he had promised to bring her an antidote that she could use while bathing. But he came to her house one day. Then she blacked out at some point during the encounter and believed she had either been hypnotized or drugged. The woman alleged that Mr. Allen paddled her, sodomized her with a club, and then raped her. There you go. From Fort Worth, that's Pastor Sherman G. Allen, little toad, man of God. Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Apparently, the Republicans had a debate last night. Yes, it was a real one.
See, I'm so confused about this.
Nobody ever knows these are going on until after they're over.
I meant to ask Lisa about this because I didn't think the next debate was till June sometime.
No, it was last night.
Oh, sure, a bunch of white guys standing on the stage. I was wondering, they were covering it on CNN today.
So they have a whole bunch of people that nobody's ever heard of, including this Texas congressman named Ron Paul, who got in a dust-up, it claims here, over the 9/11 attacks. Paul blamed American meddling in the Middle East, such as bombing Iraq for 10 years, as a contributing factor to terrorism.
Right now, we're building an embassy in Iraq that's bigger than the Vatican. We're building 14 permanent bases. What would we say here if China was doing this in our country or in the Gulf of Mexico? We would be objecting. We need to look at what we do from the perspective of what would happen if somebody else did it to us.
Well, that's just crazy talk.
What's wrong with them? They don't know about freedom.
It is kind of weird that he's a Republican and saying these things.
And he's from Texas.
And he's a... Do you suppose he knows that he's Republican?
He's from Texas, I suppose.
It's just bizarre.
Rudy Giuliani called on Paul to withdraw this comment.
You've got to face reality. If you can't face reality, you can't leave.
Yes, sir. Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani's got a stranglehold on reality, what with his apparent fixation on ferret laws in New York City.
So other than that, we're not going to play the rest of the song bites because they're the same old thing, abortion, blah, 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 cutting taxes, reducing dependence on foreign oil. These Republicans have nothing new to talk about.
No one cares.
Meanwhile, up to Britain we go again, as Prince Harry will not be serving in Iraq after all. British Army head General Sir Richard Donut said he made the decision not to send the Royal to the war zone after he visited Iraq last week and discovered it's pretty dangerous there, isn't it?
The risk to Prince Harry is too great. The risk that he brings to his troop and to his squadron by his presence in the light of those specific threats to him is now too great. And although the soldiers in his squadron and battle group are willing to share those risks, I'm not prepared to export those risks to their families.
Okay, that's just stupid. First of all, who cares if there's a risk to him in the sense
he's third in line to the British throne.
Yeah.
So he's never going to get it anyway.
Nah, I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, really, God would have to start killing people in the royal family at the rate of like one every week or so. You know, and it would still take a month for him to get that. So that's not going to happen.
No.
Who cares if there's a risk to him in Iraq, in as much as there's a risk to everybody who's in the military in Iraq? And secondly, the idea that he somehow brings extra risk to the troops in Iraq is retarded anyway, because that assumes that, like, all of the Iraqi insurgents have got, like, you know, like a GPS in their hand that shows them in any... It's not like in Aliens where you can open up a little screen and Egon's ectoplasm detector tells you exactly where Prince Harry is at any moment.
I mean, it's more dangerous riding through Paris, really.
Presumably, the Iraqis are trying to kill everybody who's not an Iraqi that's there right now anyway, so it doesn't really seem like...
hardly any Iraqis left. All the Iraqis left there in Pakistan.
Doesn't really seem like it could
They're losing, like, 50,000 a week.
It doesn't seem like it could get more dangerous than it is right... They're trying to kill everybody who's there right now anyway. How is it that you become... How is it that it's more dangerous than that? That's...
I mean, well because the earth there is flat.
You know,
the people are easier to see.
Oh, I thought you meant the... Okay.
No.
You mean it's a flat terrain.
Yeah, it's a flat terrain.
I thought you meant the earth was actually flat there.
No. The earth is flat there. That's why it's easier to see people.
The family car?
So apparently, Prince Harry and the troops have been threatened.
There are a number of specific threats specifically aimed at Prince Harry. And it's for that reason, and in the light of recent episodes, that I've decided that the risk to Prince Harry is too great.
Okay. So, in the meantime, our Prime Minister Tony Blair said standing down in Iraq would be counterproductive.
What we're facing today in Afghanistan, in Iraq, is part of a broader global struggle. And if we back away, if we give up on it, if we show any signs of retreat at all, then the enemy that we face worldwide will be strengthened.
Whatever.
Prince Harry will be next.
Yeah. So we've got Prince Harry's being taken out of harm's way, and then somebody sent me something. Did you know, just as a side note, that Paris Hilton petition to keep her in jail for the full length of time has three times the number of signatures as the Keep Paris Out of Jail petition has, which is just great. Mm-hmm. And Schwarzenegger yesterday told her to get bent. Paris was, you gotta get me out of jail! And Schwarzenegger said, I'm not going to interject myself into any sort of, you know, whatever. I can't do that voice, but he said that He wisely sidestepped the entire issue. Do we know if she's going to that that tent prison?
No, we don't.
What can you? How happy that would make everybody? Really, seriously. I mean, it's I can't even describe the happiness that would bring to America if she got sent to that hideous that place in Phoenix where they give you like two meals and they beat you with sticks all day.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello, sir.
How you doing today?
What's up?
Best show ever.
Thank you.
I got a call from my wife yesterday. She says, what's that radio station you listen to? I'm all, what, 970? She says, is it Solid State Radio? I said, yes. So I'm at Goodwill, and they have a shirt here for $2. You want it?
Well,
fantastic. So we paid $2 for a shirt that you give away for free. How funny is that?
I was just going to point that out, actually, that really, you know, you don't even have to buy those. So where...
It's the lover, you guys, you know.
Is it the black one or the red one?
It's the black one.
So how would that even have happened? I'm trying to think of the chain of events. Somebody must have died. That's it. Because seriously, why... You know, it's not, I mean, we don't, those shirts are free, but on the other hand, it's not like you can just show up at the station and, like, we'll hand you one. Like, we only give them out at events. You kind of have to ask for one, or it's a contest or whatever. Who would have gotten that and then given it to Goodwill? That just doesn't make any sense.
Well, probably one of the roller derby chicks that didn't listen to the radio station but had her cans hanging out the whole time. So what am I going to do with this?
I don't think the Rose City Roller Girls had those shirts on.
No.
Man, I don't know. They didn't have any shirts on.
Huh. Well, now I want to know. All right. Well, wear it with pride, sir.
Oh, but of course.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Well, before tax time, what often happens with people doing their tax returns, you get a maximum that you can write off for charitable donations. So that was probably in a box with some other items. And they use that on their latest tax return as a tax deduction.
Giving stuff to Goodwill doesn't count as a charitable donation.
It certainly does.
David says angrily. No, a charitable donation is like when you write a check to the United Way.
No,
because that can be quantified.
Right, and you get a slip of paper listing what your donations might be worth.
So if I just give a bag of clothes to Value Village or some crap or to whatever the Goodwill or whatever.
And you get a receipt.
And they give me a receipt telling me how much the clothing is worth?
Yeah, you can do that.
I didn't know that, really?
If you have a good accountant, they'll tell you that. Yes.
Apparently my accountant, Christine, I'm looking in your direction. Apparently my accountant has been steering me wrong and my accountant's never told me any such thing. Well, could we sound more white? What has your accountant told you about charitable donations, Biff? Well, I don't know, Tad. My accountant says, really? Is that true?
Yeah.
Well, all right then. Seriously, I have no idea. All right, 503-733.
That's why wouldn't you donate? Not just out of the kindness of your heart.
Well, yeah, I would never do anything out of the kindness of my heart. It's all I can do. I'm only riding this bicycle so the listeners don't call up and just they start reading me the riot act every day. By the way, again, I would like to note, I've ridden my bike for the third day, and I don't think, by the way, that it specifies that I have to ride home, incidentally. I haven't looked at the Emerson Challenge, the actual page, but I don't really think it says that I have to ride home. I'm pretty sure that
Are you really looking for loopholes?
I'm not looking for loopholes. I'm simply observing. Let's see here. Hold on. Let me just say real quick. Quickly here.
I rode home on the max right next to somebody holding a pit bull last night.
You know, I got an email about pit bulls that we'll get through here in just a short while. Let's see here. Oh, listen to this. The original challenge is simple. We pledge to donate for each of the 262 weekdays you bicycle to the studio. I am not required to bicycle home, by the way, according to the actual letter of the law here. I do so out of the kindness of my heart. I do so out of pure goodness. That's what I'm full of. My body is stuffed with a spongy-like goodness. Here's that Tim Riley.
Well, the Phil Spector murder trial continues today with more testimony from the prosecution's star witness, the private driver, Adriano D'Souza. He already testified about Spector's conversation with Linda Clarkson outside the House of Blues where they met.
He invited her to go to the castle.
And what was her response?
Of course, was no.
What was his response when she said no?
No, I desired to have to work in the morning.
What happened after that?
He insisted to escalate from there three times more or two times more. I think she was afraid to go.
I don't understand any of that.
They could do better.
Yeah. Now, is this the video where he's dressed like Mrs. Roper?
That we're going to try to play next year. Okay. Let's see what we have here. This is exclusive audio of Phil Spector speaking for the first time in his own words about the murder to actress Linda Clarkson from Inside Edition. So let's see if this works.
And this is, he looks all crazy in this. Looks
like
big.
Listen, real quick.
Looks all weird and goggle-eyed and whatnot.
It's nonsense. They just want to get on Inside Edition. They just want to get on Entertainment Tonight. They just want to testify at the trial. And they just want to make money.
He's tastefully dressed in a floral pattern dress
that plunges down to his navel.
It's nonsense. They just want to get on Inside.
This cuts off before he. Right as this video ends, you can see him reaching over because he holds up a check and he waves it at the camera. It's a check for like 150 grand. And he waves it at the camera. He's like, if you want your money, here's your money. Phil Spector has your money right here. All right. Hey, listen to this. Hey, that T-shirt is nothing. A couple weeks ago, I found a brand new in the shrink wrap copy of Bigger Than Jesus for $4. You know, it is kind of a humbling sensation to realize that something, no matter what you do, no matter how hard you work on something, it will eventually end up in a discount bin.
That's terrific.
For like 3 years of my life and an untold thousands of dollars. Into making that film. Of my own money into making that movie. Now it's on sale for $4 at a Goodwill. Fantastic. That's like when you watch you'll see the West Wing or something at like 2 in the morning on Bravo and it flips by right between an episode of Matlock and like a Queer Eye, rerun or something. And you realize, that was, at some point that was unveiled as a brand new episode in a television event and now it's just something to fill time between infomercials.
It'll end up on Lifetime.
Yeah. Hey, Rick, within the past couple months, the Catholic Church revisited their views on limbo, has now rejected it as a valid waypoint for the non-baptized. Is that true?
I don't follow Catholic tactics, really.
Yeah, but I mean... So you can no longer... Okay, it used to be... We now enter the catechism section of the Rick Emerson Show. It used to be... And is limbo the same thing as purgatory? It is.
Yes.
I thought so.
Limbo is just sort of the chemical name is purgatory. Okay, so it used to be. Let me ask you this. Were you guys told this same fairy tale, piece of Catholic catechism, that when you died, if you were not baptized, or if you were kind of good, but kind of not so good, you would go to purgatory, and a specific number of prayers had to be said for you before you could go to heaven? Does that sound familiar to anybody?
No.
Tim? I believe so. See, that's what we were told.
Hmm.
And it was like nobody knew the number. Like, that was the thing. Like, you didn't know the number, of course. But if you, you know, like if you'd shot somebody, but you felt really bad about it, you would go and you would sit in limbo, and you were, a number of prayers that was known only to God had to be said for you specifically before you could enter heaven. I was told that all the way through Catholic school. Apparently, that doesn't even work now.
Hmm.
It was sort of like an appendix where things would sit for a while. Well, there you go. All right, here's the Reverend Tim Riley.
A young Bonner Springs, Kansas man said he plans to plead guilty when he faces a judge tomorrow. Bo Baker allegedly admits he was going to a cemetery to dig up an urn containing his best buddy's ashes. Justin Manning died in an auto accident last year. Manning said he and Manning were his closest brothers, and he didn't mean any disrespect to his friend or the victim's family by digging up his urn. He said he and Manning had discussed death and, well, the victim simply didn't want to end up being buried in the ground.
By fulfilling those wishes, I am sorry. I am very apologetic to his family. I realize what I did was very wrong.
He was digging up his urn?
Yeah. But it was buried in the ground.
All right.
Well.
Jinx. 1, 2, 3. no, I was just going to ask you to clarify a point here. Somebody says,
okay,
you can write up to, you can write off up to $500 without a receipt, even if you didn't give anything to anybody.
Says that. I think it's a little less than that.
But really, you could just claim
that? I think it's around $300.
You could just say, I gave some crap to people.
Well, you should have a receipt.
But I mean, but what if you don't? Do they challenge you?
I'm sure they would if you get audited.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody really takes it that far.
Yeah.
At least I wouldn't.
All right. Here he is, the Reverend Tim Riley.
So, the Academy of Country Music Awards were presented last night in Vegas, the country music capital of the world. And during the program, Reba McEntire solicits aspiring songwriters to give her the same treatment as Taylor Swift. Well, not necessarily here, but at the Country Music Association.
That's very sweet. You know what? If there are any teenage boys out there who want to write a song called Reba McEntire...
Creepy. Then, Brooks and Dunn accept the coveted Home Depot Humanitarian Award.
Hey, anyone out there could have won this. You're all deserving. Everyone works for the communities. And most of the artists that we know, everyone's involved with lots of things. This is a good shout-out for Home Depot. We have bad manners.
Oh, come on.
And reminded them that there were two of us, so they gave us a kaboom and a boomerang. They gave us two anyway, so thank you. Thank you.
The Home Depot Humanitarian Award.
Really? Because when you think charitable works in third world nations, you do think Home Depot and their fine variety of services and low prices. All right. Well, there you go. Well, we should break here because Jim Roop around the corner was actually at the Country Music Awards. We can ask him about that coveted Home
Depot. They sent him all the way to Vegas?
Yes, they did.
I bet it was on Southwest.
And he was, but you know where he stayed? The MGM Grand. Apparently, there's some special CNN rating. He was only paying $190 a day.
Must have been an old smoking room or something.
Would you like the room that John Entwistle overdosed in? Okay. Step over the steaming pool of blackening blood. 503-73. Is this Queen again? Goddamn, fantastic. Did we have this radio that Sasha Baron Cohen is going to play Freddie Mercury? Damn straight. I love Queen. What a great song this is. How sad that we're the only station in Portland playing this song today or ever. All right, back after this. Why, hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Ahead, we have more from the Reverend Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. We have today's top five. Top five rock anthems of all time. Let me read you, and then we'll get Jim Roop here in like 30 seconds. Let me read you this. As you know, we are endeavoring here in the Rick Emerson radio program, assembled lovingly in the United States by a team of robots. Why is it that dropping syllables out of something makes it funny? You like a drop of vowel? You go from program to program. That's where the comedy is.
Robot is really funny.
Robot is hilarious. I don't know why Robot is so much funnier than Robot.
I always say it in my head in Zoidberg's voice.
Fry! Robot! All right. So, as you know, we are endeavoring to create the official Portland anthem. And we are going to, after we've got the first four lines done, I've got the hook, which I'm keeping a secret for now until I figure out if it's actually going to work. As soon as we get the rest of the lyrics written, then all we got to do is, bam, we find a melody, boom, we go into the studio, pow, we record it, zing, we present it to Tom Potter and demand that he make it the official Portland anthem and then give us a key or a scroll or a ring or a declaration or something. You can be sending your submissions, by the way, to rick@rickemerson.com. We kind of neglected this last week or so. We're busy with a whole bunch of other crap. Probably not today, maybe tomorrow, we'll take like a good 5, 6, 7 minutes to read a whole bunch of lyric submissions. This is the kind of thing that I'm getting. Because the opening line, the line that we've got now is I don't have it in front of me, but it is roses and raindrops and acres of green, rivers of microbrewed beers and caffeine. That's the first four lines we've got right now, which is genius.
That is really good.
It's really good. And so following that up is going to be difficult. So we've got this. We've got, stay in the valley by a not-so-pristine river. You can take a tram up the hill and get a brand-new liver. These are the kinds of lyrics that are not going to work. Joe and Canby, God bless you and I thank you for...
Good inclusion of the tram, though.
Hey, listen, it's a wheel. Hey, it's a spinning prize wheel. Thank you, Jim Riley.
From KUFO.
Thank you for stealing that. I've been wanting one of those. God bless you. Thank you, Tim Riley. Joe, while I appreciate your spunk and your moxie and your spark and your energy and, you know, your ambition, this isn't really going to work. So, but, you know, thanks so much. 503-733-2970. Let us welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the City of Sin. Tim! Hello, sir. That doesn't sound like the spunky Jim Roop we know and love.
I'm very spunky, very spry. I'm back in Los Angeles where I belong.
Oh, really? So I thought that you were. I thought you were still in Vegas today.
I left Vegas this about 2 hours ago.
All right. Was it a late night at the Country Music Awards?
It was an all night at the Country Music Awards.
Really? Have you been to sleep?
Not at all.
Fantastic. Well done.
Not at all, and two rum and cokes on the... on the airplane.
Excellent.
That's all they had. All they had was rum. How silly is that?
You know what's so great about
that? I got to write a letter.
Yes, a strongly worded. I was extremely disappointed in the lack of choice of alcohols. Absolutely. On the plane. Well, let me...
No real whiskey at all. None. No bourbon. I said, you got to be kidding me.
Would you like to share with us the name of the airline?
No, sir.
Okay, I didn't think so, but all right. Well, you know, I'm sorry that you were forced to buckle under and drink rum and coke.
That was nasty.
Was it a tiny?
Oh, what was worse is the guy two seats behind me ordered rum and diet coke. How bad is that?
I don't even understand why you would do that. Was it a tiny expensive rum and coke?
It was $4.50.
$4.50, and was it one of the rum and coke that comes in like a little?
Yeah, a little tiny bottle.
Basically a little shot glass.
Yeah, wasn't even. It's not even as much as a shot. You had to get two.
Did you order two at once, or do you just?
I spent $48 on the airplane.
Well done.
Thank you.
I
spent one airplane that I lost in the slot machines in Vegas. That's bad.
I was going
to
ask.
It made the 1 hour flight from Vegas to LA much better.
Everything just has a soft, fuzzy glow around it.
I didn't even realize we landed. I got to go with my baggage. It's still at the airport. No, I'm kidding.
Were there any highlights at the Country Music Awards?
Nothing worth complaining about.
I did see that Brooks and Dunn won the coveted Home Depot Humanitarian Award.
Yeah, they get a playground named after them.
Really? Is that true?
And they get to choose where it goes.
I want to demand that there be a playground named after me.
The Rick Emerson Jump Around.
But somewhere wacky, like in Honduras or Beirut. You know what I mean? All right. Well, so there's that. So, I mean, anything awful, embarrassing, excruciating, terrible?
No, it was really sort of a vanilla kind of an evening as far as that stuff goes. You know, everybody loved each other. It was just a wonderful event. Slap yourself on the back, give yourself an award, and go make millions of dollars more.
I mean, it is really appropriate because country music at this point is really uninteresting and sort of whitewashed in so many ways. So the fact
it's, you know, if it wasn't for George Strait, twang and, like, you're supposed to in
right.
that genre.
Right.
You'd think you were at the AMAs or something.
I do like George Strait quite a lot. You know, he's one of those guys like Clint Black, you know, was another one of those guys. I don't know where he's going through these days, but he was, you know, kind of was the real deal, sort of.
He's carrying Lisa Hartman stuff.
Yeah, so, is he married to Lisa Hartman?
Yeah, isn't he?
I didn't know.
And she started singing, too. I think that's what ruined his act. Is that she was the Yoko Ono of his career.
And then, Kenny Chesney was there. Kenny Chesney, was he the guy that was married to,
Renee Zellweger? Yeah.
Kenny Chesney, how do I put this?
You know, I asked him, I said, is that hat too big? He got really angry with that question.
He seems like a very, fashionable man. He seems like he probably has, money. I was going to say that, Kenny Chesney, just from the interviews I've seen with him, it seems likely that he has perhaps a bath mat that matches the fuzzy thing on top of his toilet.
Could be.
Sarah, help me out here. It seems like he would have...
You think he's gay?
I didn't say that. It seems.
I know that he's got shoes that match his hats.
Really?
He wears a brown hat, he has brown shoes.
I was going to say...
Black hat, it's black shoes.
I was going to say he seems like you might see him at maybe a wine
tasting.
Pink
shoes, it's a pink hat. At a wine taste?
Pink shoes.
Rick, I don't think CBS operates under those stereotypes that you're talking about.
I didn't say anything. He seems like a wine enthusiast.
So from looking at him, he seems like a wine enthusiast.
By looking at Kenny Chesney and watching him being interviewed, he seems like a guy who might enjoy drinking, you know, going to a vineyard or maybe a Bed Bath and Beyond. That's all I'm saying.
I can tell you this. He was so nervous last night backstage that it's like he couldn't catch his breath.
Really?
When he was answering questions. And he stuttered a little bit. I don't know what that was on.
Was it a cute stutter?
No.
Dude, you've sounded so out of it. It's fantastic. All right. Well, screw that. I don't really care about the CMA. Did you gamble much?
No. I don't have that much disposable income. I do work in radio.
That is true. When you...
I did spend $10, and it went in like 13 seconds.
Please tell me you didn't put it in the slots.
No.
Okay. Because, I mean, the slots are for old women. That's...
No, I went to the blackjack table.
Now, blackjack, now that's your best odds in the casino, actually, except unless they've got three-card poker. I think three-card poker, technically speaking, is the best odds, but they don't have that some places. So I think it really is all about blackjack, although even there the house is like a 1.3% edge or something like that. So, and then
all I know is I lost. And I can't win a basket at a church social, man. I can't. It's terrible. I have very little luck when it comes to that kind of thing.
You know, the thing about being in Vegas, especially if you're at the MGM Grand or you're in a strip or something, is it's like, because I'm so trashy that whenever I go there, I stay in Old Vegas and we'll stay at like the Four Queens or at the Fitzgerald's or someplace like that or the Sunset Station or whatever, you know, and then we'll go down to the El Cortez, which I love to talk about because the El Cortez is just so threadbare and beaten down and just gnarly and ragged. And just terrible. You walk in there and you can see the concrete on the floor through the carpet that has been worn away over time. You can tell that they either haven't replaced their gaming tables in 50 years or they just buy their gaming tables. Like, they get their gaming tables when other casinos just throw them away in a dumpster out back, and somebody from the floor boss at the El Cortez goes behind the MGM and rummages through their trash to get their new gaming tables.
That
and
could very well be the case.
It's fantastic. And it's a bright pink building, and it's just terrible. The thing is, the problem with me is that I will spend so much time in Old Vegas where you can play a hand of blackjack for $2, and then go to the MGM, and it's like everything there is a minimum hand, $20. You know what I mean?
I stayed there.
Yeah. It's just a bad place for me to go because, like, if I'm in a blackjack kind of mood or whatever, and it's just, you can find, there are no low-stakes tables anywhere in those casinos.
You know, I had started working this morning at like 3 o'clock, going live on stations and stuff, and about 4:20, I think I went downstairs to get coffee because they don't have in-room coffee in that place. And you would thought it was 11 o'clock at night. I mean, the bars were hopping, the people were going nuts, and the gambling was. Obviously, people were like me; they haven't been asleep all night, but they were partying heavy duty on a Tuesday night.
Well, you know,
Las Vegas.
The great thing about Vegas is sort of like the internet. It's always around 1:40 in the morning on the internet, and it's always that way at Vegas too. So
yeah, you're right.
All right, brother. Well, I'm gonna let you go. You can go catch some shut eye at some point.
Nah, I'm gonna go get a real drink now.
Excellent. God bless you, Jim Roop.
Thank you, sir.
It's that kind of spunk that makes you a hero to the Rick Emerson audience.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Jim Roop. They see you in rehab. Excellent.
I love that guy.
That guy's fantastic.
He sounded half drunk.
Yeah, you know, I had this whole bit planned today where I was going to have him do the interview with us, do the little shot here, as though we were like a regular kooky, like, music station. I was going to be like, hey, it's Jim Rope in Los Angeles. Hey, Jim, tell us about the CMAs. And see if he could, like, pull it together and do, like, a straight review. But he clearly doesn't have the wherewithal for that. Clearly is too drunk and or out of it today to do that in any real way. So, you know, we'll do that another time. All right, do I have time to read this thing about fish feces? I don't know the answer. Let's see. Let me
I think you do.
Let me refer to my Hey, by the way,
fish feces?
Yes. Speaking of chicken wire, speaking of bicycling though, and this email does, I got this email here. It says, "Rick, let me ask this question, then we'll read this email because we're on like a not like a 9-hour delay." There ought to be a wacky talk show host who works blue named Tom DeLay. You know, you bypass OMSI, don't you? Is that how you go? Is that how
no,
you roll?
I do every once in a while, but no.
What bridge? How do you get over the river?
I go over the Hawthorne Bridge.
Oh, but you just go straight down Hawthorne?
Sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes I'll take the side streets.
That sucks. That's got to suck, because that's a serious grind. You don't go back up Hawthorne, do
no,
you?
No, I go on the side streets up Hawthorne.
Boy, the first time I did that, the first time I had to bike across the river, I went straight up Hawthorne. That'll make you wish you were
yeah,
dead.
Yeah, I've done that before. It is awful.
Okay, when's the last time you bicycled past OMSI?
Probably about a week ago.
Okay, what is that big thing they've built down there? That huge thing that is, like, extending out over the river. You know what I'm talking
I
about?
I know what you're talking
what
about.
Is
it
that
looks
thing?
Like half a bridge almost.
Yeah, what is that
I
thing? It's
no
right
clue.
By the blueback. It's right by the submarine.
Not a clue. I thought they were making some, like, super bridge to the other side.
I am, but they don't do anything, and there's nothing ever there. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, and I realize that this is local and relatable, but it also is, it's really only relatable if you've spent any time at OMSI.
You know, I kind of wondered that, too. I have no idea. Some kind of boat dock?
If you're going down, if you bicycle past OMSI, or if you're down by OMSI, you've seen this thing that I'm talking about, and it's like a big, it does look like a pedestrian bridge that extends out over the river about 30 feet, and then it just stops. And there's never any, the other thing is there's never anything happening. There's nothing ever going on with that thing. It's just a mystery to me. So, I mean, I was, like, looking at it. I actually stopped the other day. I stopped and I stared at it, and I was trying to figure out what the hell it was. And I couldn't come up with any explanation for it. I mean, I can't be loading anything there. There's no ship that comes by that's big enough for that. So, in any event. So, if you know, I that's just one of those things I want to know the answer to. This email says, "Rick, congratulations on riding your bike 3 days in a row. That's quite an accomplishment. If the 3 miles to work has you that exhausted, you may get home by whatever means you find available. Perhaps one of the wheelchair-bound retarded can swing by and give you a lift. I'm thinking of you as I ride the 21 miles back to my home. Signed, your token Puerto Rican." Sir, that's inappropriate. The CBS radio does not wish for you to refer to yourself in that way. They are here to protect you from anything that might damage your tiny sense of decency.
Oh, do people know what the OMSI thing is?
Well, apparently people are calling, or maybe they're just calling to for no readily apparent
reason. That's my favorite part of the ride, riding by OMSI.
Oh, it's
like,
great.
The water's beautiful.
Especially, there's two great things about that ride. This is how you can tell that we're really in Portland, by the way, and we're not just some a-hole show in Arizona pretending that we're live. There's two great things. One. Well, actually, there's three. One is when you're driving from Southeast and you're heading into the city, as they say, and you first come around the corner and you get to see the skyline of Portland in the morning with the sun glittering off the river. It really is beautiful. And I'm not an outdoors guy. I'm not much into, like, nature and whatever, but that really is beautiful. The second thing is when you're biking by OMSI at night and you go right, you bicycle right past the big red neon OMSI sign, and it kind of makes that sound, and you drive by, and you can feel the heat and the red light from the OMSI sign on you as you bicycle by. It's so cool. That OMSI sign at night, because you bike within, like, 4 or 5 feet of it, and you can feel the heat and just the light from the OMSI sign on you after dark. It is so cool. The other great moment is when you are bicycling home, if you go over the Hawthorne Bridge and then you hang a right and you go past OMSI, and you can look back and you can catch the whole skyline over the river at night.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, and I'm not like I'm some world traveler, but I mean in the United States, I've been to a lot of cities in the United States, and I got to tell you, the Portland skyline at night is beautiful. It's not the biggest skyline. It's not the brightest skyline. It doesn't have, there's cities with other buildings. There's cities with whatever. But you know what? The Portland skyline is really amazingly, uniquely beautiful at night. I mean, it really is, you know. Okay, here
I think the Seattle, I don't know, Seattle, Washington skyline's pretty nice too. Like especially going over across on the Bremerton Ferry at night.
Absolutely.
And approaching it, it looks really cool.
And of course, obviously, if you go into New York at night, you know, I remember the first time I ever went into New York City, I came across the bridge into Manhattan at night. It was around 11 o'clock at night, and I don't remember what bridge it was. But I came across the bridge into Manhattan at night, and it was just takes your breath away. It really is beautiful. The Portland skyline is just fantastic. I actually sometimes, while biking, I will just stop and just stare at the Portland skyline for a while over the water because it's just so amazing. By the way, we have this. Rick, I heard this. I forgot about it, though. Kenny Chesney was married to Renee Zellweger for about a week. Do you know what she said is the reason for the divorce on the papers?
Yeah, like he lied about something.
Fraud.
Yeah.
And then, referencing the Camel cigarette, he says, I believe Kenny Chesney does smoke the pink ones. Like many of Sarah's friends. The Camel cigarettes. That are pink and black.
No, they're just pink.
Okay.
They go in a black box, though.
I think I saw that in a movie one time. Black and white in color. It's 503-733. Yes, it does. Hi there. You're on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Hey, Rick. It's Brian. Listen, that big old bridge thing you and Sarah were just talking about that goes over the bike path right before Omsi.
Right.
I think what that is that that's a mechanism to facilitate the removal of all the junk they're digging out to build the big sewer pipe on the east side there. Because I think it comes out from behind, like the Portland, what's the Opera building now, and that's where they're making the big tunnel for the sewer thing, and I think they're using that, they're going to use that to ferry out all stuff they're digging out of the tunnel so they can dump it on a barge and, like, truck it over to Ross Island or something and fill up the lagoon. I don't know.
So they're digging a huge sewer hole, and so that is going to be used as, like, a conveyor belt to take the dirt and rocks and dump it on a barge?
That's kind of what I'm thinking it is. I mean, that's something I can think of. Either that or, you know, taking small children on a very exciting ride.
Shooting them into the river. Catapulting them into the river.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun?
Well, that your explanation I will have to accept for now because I have no alternate theory.
It's probably totally bunk, but, what else in the show isn't, so...
All right, excellent. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, best show ever.
Thank you. That's my man, Brian. Thank you. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey. That guy was right. They're digging all the vertical shafts that go down for the sewer, and then they'll put a big boring machine in, and when the boring machine goes through, all the waste will come out behind it onto that conveyor, onto a barge.
And when you say waste, that's just the dirt and the crap in the ground, right?
Yeah.
And then it goes onto a barge, and then where does that go? Where do you put dirt like that?
It goes up to Ross Island.
Oh, really? I thought people own
like a little inlet, and they have permission to dump everything in the river right there in this little backwater.
That's interesting. So there's dumping dirt right into the river. That seems like it would have eventually some bad effect on things. Well, what do I know? All right. Excellent. Well, at least I know now. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right.
The river gets like sewage dumped into it every day.
That's true.
Dirt would hurt it.
It is full of feces. Not unlike this vat in a story that I have over here. I'm not going to have a chance to get to that, though. I'll take a break here. We'll come back around the corner. The Reverend Tim Riley returns to the Ministry of Truth. We have today's top five rock anthems of all time. We will do that immediately following the news with Tim Riley. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 570 Solid State Radio. Don't go. Anyway. Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Don't forget to go to 970.am. Sign up to become an AM 970 glorious bastard for your chance to win a bag of Sarah Dillon's fingernails. Right here. Wait, hold on. There's...
Stop!
It's the sound of one of them scraping against my Electro Voice RE20 microphone. Scotty, do you have a paper cup? I'd like for people to hear the sound of Sarah's fingernails shifting around inside a paper cup.
Why?
Why not, Sarah? I think that's the real question here. Why not?
Ladies and gentlemen, he's your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator. He is the Reverend Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The Blue Angels will perform at the Hillsborough Air Show this year, despite a recent deadly accident to have one of their planes crash. Now, last year at the air show, a vintage jetliner lost control and crashed into a popular neighborhood where this reporter lives.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know that last year the plane crash?
Yeah, it was in your neighborhood.
Yeah, it was in my neighborhood.
I didn't think things like that happened in your neighborhood.
No, yeah, it was like a couple of streets up from me.
I totally blocked that out for some reason.
Yeah, we were filming a television show in my living room. We heard all the sirens and we saw the smoke billowing out of the backyard.
I don't remember that at all. Jet airliner. Airliner?
No, it was a jet airliner. Was a vintage airliner.
Oh, that was like a biplane. Was Harry Houdini walking on the wing?
I don't know what it was.
I don't mean to sound caustic about this or cold, but I mean, let's be honest.
The pilot was killed and homes damaged.
Why do you say those things right before you know I'm doing a punchline? Right before you know I'm doing a... Never mind. I'm just going to... I will say this, though.
Yes.
Let us just speak honestly as adults, though, and say that part of the attraction... I mean, look, if there was no risk of that happening, no one would care about the Blue Angels, right?
Right. It's like going to an auto race. You want to see the things crash. You're not going to see the things going around the circle.
Exactly, because otherwise, why wouldn't they charge people to just sit in your backyard and watch a plane, like, fly over your house on its way to somewhere?
People do in my neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah, they don't pay admission. They just bring out their lawn chairs and
walk. No, I'm talking about, like, a regular plane.
Last year, they were horrified.
Come on, kids. Let's go enjoy some good, clean family fun. No, I mean, no one just goes and sits at the airport just to watch a mail plane take off and fly off somewhere, because there's probably not going to be any accident. The only reason people find the Thunderbirds or the Blue Angels interesting is because there's a possibility that they could all die a fiery death at any moment.
That happened last week?
Yeah, so... Well, anyway, we probably shouldn't say anything more about the Houston ride.
So this week's air show will be August 10th through the 12th. It's the 20th anniversary of this very safe and popular event.
Of course.
Meanwhile, Portland's Pink Martini Band has debuted at number one on Amazon.com. It is not the city's first time being a hotbed of music. Some of the other bands include the Kinsmen, the Quarter Flashes, Everclear, and the Daddy Warhols. Also, Music Millennium on North Burnside...
Warhol is a gay porn star, I believe.
Music Millennium on North Burnside has ordered 3,000... make up 5,000 copies of the new Pink Martini album. And the band has already $1.3 million in record sales. Also, some of the other popular bands that you may have heard of are the Sleater-Kinney Band, but they moved to Olympia because they have a street named after them.
I would like to demand, by the way, again, that someone explain what the hell Sleater-Kinney means. And don't tell me it's named for the goddamn exit. I'm asking where the names Slater and Kinney come from, what they represent, where those names came from.
Then there's the other homegrown band, the Decemberists, best known as the band who got all their equipment ripped off.
Can I just ask a question about local music for a moment?
I don't know very much about it, really.
Can you hand me that Pink Martini story?
Sure.
All right. I don't even know what they do. Are they a lounge band or something?
Yeah, they're like a...
The kids love
loungy.
Yeah. Let's see. The Kingsmen, Quarterflash, Everclear, Dandy Warhols, blah, blah, blah. $1.3 million, blah, blah, blah. They're apparently the biggest selling local band... This is a lie. Music Millennium...
Of course it is.
I mean, look, I love Terry Currier. I really do. He's the guy that owns Music Millennium. Terry's a great guy, and I mean that sincerely. He's a good guy. He's done a lot of favors for me. He's been very, very nice to me. But this is a lie when he says that Pink Martini is the biggest-selling local band we've ever had. That would mean that they're bigger than Everclear.
Than Elvis.
But, I mean, Everclear's the biggest local band to come out of Portland. They're the biggest band to come out of this area ever, aren't they?
Well, that's why you can see them everywhere, any weekend, really.
Just hanging out.
Didn't Arnold Gockus get married to his next child bride?
That's you who said that, Sarah Dillon. I didn't say that.
I don't know who they are.
Well, anywho, blah, 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 the Shins, Modest Mouse. Well, Modest Mouse, but they're not from here. Does Johnny Marr live here now?
I don't know.
Somebody said... Modest Mouse and former Smiths guitarist Johnny Marr is here. Okay, who wrote this? And is this KGW again? God damn, what goes on at that... Where are you getting your writers? From a homeless shelter?
Modest Mouse.
We'll be getting an email from them in about 5 seconds.
Modest Mouse and former Smiths guitarist, Smiths with an apostrophe, for no reason. It doesn't have an apostrophe in it.
It's like Fred Meyer. It's not Fred Myers.
Oh, it's making
or Nordstrom.
Soul hurt. Modest Mouse and former... Listen to how this goddamn sentence from KGW by Randy Neves.
You gotta remember, though, that's television for an older demographic. So how would they know?
It says the Shins, whose recent album... And it's missing a comma. Oh, for the love of God. I want to find whoever this guy is and tie him to a chair and make him read.
Probably about 8 feet tall. You're going to be tied into anything.
Seriously, they have these books you can buy, and they'll teach you how to use the English language. Oh, Christ. I'm just going to read this the way it's supposed to be. The Shins, comma, whose recent album... debuted at number 2 on the Billboard charts, comma. Billboard should also be italicized, by the way. Relocated to Portland from New Mexico. Paragraph break. Now listen to the way this is written. Modest Mouse and former Smiths guitarist Johnny Marr is here.
How are they?
Now, does that mean that Modest Mouse and former Smiths guitarist Johnny Marr are both here? Because if that's
living
the case,
happily.
Then writing it, Modest Mouse and former Smiths guitarist Johnny Marr is here. Really?
Mm.
Really? Yeah.
I'm starting to lose interest in the story.
Really, you know. Grapefruit and grapefruit and macaroni, you know, is some of my favorite foods.
Whose?
Me. Miss me.
Oh.
Stop. Don't be an ass. Oh, my God! Look at this! No. Listen to this. See, I'm just going to read you this sentence. See if you can spot the grammatical error in this sentence. From KGW.
Where the news comes first.
And where punctuation and correct grammar come last. Friggin' last.
Well, they've been coming back.
He says, Portland scene... Now, Sarah, see if you can spot the grammatical error in this. He said, Portland scene will prosper because of its musical diversity. Which word is mangled in here, do you suppose?
Diversity?
No.
I know.
It is. I-T apostrophe S. There is no apostrophe in this word. Sweet zombie Jesus. And it every time with KGW.
It's got to be stopped. But are you going to watch their news?
I don't even remember what I was asking. Oh, I was asking...
You asked me to hand you the story. That's what I remember.
Do
we all regret this?
That was the original request.
I don't even know what the story is about because you're freaking out so much about the damn punctuation.
It's about...
Portland.
All I know is it's about
It's about Pink Martini apparently being really huge. I was asking who is the most successful music group from Portland. Because, no disrespect, I don't think it's Pink Martini. That would have to be... It would have to be Everclear.
It has to be Everclear.
Everclear has to be, whatever anybody thinks about them, Everclear has to be the most successful Portland band ever. There's no way that it's Pink Martini, who I'm sure are fine. I'm sure they're a great group of kids. But there's no way that they are the most successful Portland band ever. That's just not true. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello?
Hi.
Yeah, Johnny Marr does live in Portland.
Really? That is cool.
What's the address? Really cool.
Yes, can we tell us so we can stalk him?
Somewhere in East Portland, I think.
Somewhere in where?
Northeast.
Oh, of course. Johnny Marr, who was the guitarist for Modest Mouse, was also a legendary guitarist and songwriter for many of the Smiths' big hits. I'm not a big fan of the Smiths, but I do like the way that guy plays guitar. He's a great guitar player. And I like him because Morrissey hates him, because he made Morrissey angry. Morrissey just hated him. And so that's anybody who irritates Morrissey is fine in my book. Excellent. All right, thank you, sir.
You're welcome, bye.
Seriously, where does KGW get these writers? And this is a different from guy. This is not the same guy who said the movie screw. I hate to sound like I'm just being a tight ass about this, but it's one thing if, like, Anna Nicole Smith or Scotty J doesn't know how to use the English language. These are journalists.
That's just kind of weird. I wish they would, you know, how come they're not spell checking it?
I mean, you would think, wouldn't you? All right, I'm done.
I'm done. I'm done for now. I'm going to put this over here in the angry pile because I can't look at it anymore. I'm not going to have time for the top five in this segment, and it's all your fault, KGW.com. Randy Neves. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, on American Idol, the final three contestants have done all they can, and now it's up to the public. Simon Cowell picks his favorite to make it to the finale on the program.
I've got to say this, Melinda. We've known each other now for 11 weeks on this show. If I'm going to award a place in the final to the person who has consistently delivered week after week, it's you.
I am a little toad. I don't even know. You know, American Idol, every season for the past three seasons has been trending lower than the one before it. So that show is on the downward slide.
Well, the Postal Service is reaching out to those who may be confused over this week's hike in the price of stamps. Spokeswoman Kim Yates says mailing a letter may cost a few more cents, but the process of mailing a letter hasn't changed.
Really? Do they have to tell me?
The process of mailing a letter hasn't changed.
A regular letter is not anything different. A customer should not have to go to the post office to mail a letter. They can apply a 41-cent stamp or a heavier weight, just as it was in the past. It would require more postage, but it's not that. That part of it is not complicated.
Wait, hold on. Tell me the part about putting a stamp on the letter again.
Sure.
Okay. A regular letter is not anything different. A customer should not have to go to the post office to mail a letter. They can apply a 41-cent stamp.
Wait, hold on. This is where I get confused. Right here. Okay. Let me ask you this. Here's a question, Tim.
Yes.
A question you can almost certainly not answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway. I ask you basically as a roundabout way of getting somebody in the audience to answer this.
All right.
When did this go into effect? It was Friday.
Monday.
Monday? Okay. Well, what if I put something in the mail on Saturday?
At the time, his license postmarked for Saturday.
What if I put it in the mail Sunday?
No, it wouldn't happen. Because there's no mail pickup on Sunday.
But I'm saying
That's your own fault.
What if I dropped it off at the post office?
Everyone knows there's no mail services on Sunday.
But if I'm just saying, if I dropped it off at the post office on Sunday morning,
no.
Is it just going to sit there?
It would have to be postmarked by Saturday.
Interesting. Okay.
It's only 2 cents.
I didn't think you'd know the answer. I am kind of impressed that you did.
Basic, really.
I'm sorry.
more facts about mail.
Over here in the idiot quadrant of the room, we didn't know that.
Some people can save money by folding their letter-sized paper in half.
For a letter-sized envelope, the maximum size of it is 11.5 inches long by 6 1/8 inches tall. So that's a pretty generous size envelope. You can get, that's 8.5 by 11
what
sheets folded
in
half
this
to fit in
be.
An envelope that size.
Really?
I'm listening about envelopes.
Okay, sorry. Can we go back to how you put the stamp on?
A regular letter is not anything different. A customer should not have to go to the post office to mail a letter. They can apply a 41-cent stamp, or if it's heavier weight, just
so
as it
confusing.
Was in the past. It would require more postage, but it's not that. That part of it is not complicated.
All right.
It is for some people.
Apparently
they're all heading to the post office thinking there's no more mail delivery.
Hey, so somebody told me that you can't mail a round envelope or a triangle-shaped envelope. Somebody told me that...
Where would you find one?
That's so weird.
No, this is true. Someone told me that if you try to mail an envelope that's not a rectangle, they won't deliver it. I wonder if that's true.
That's fascinating.
Maybe you should try and mail round things.
F you guys. You're not taking me seriously. I get that when I'm being mocked. You guys are jerks.
Round envelope?
Someone told me that if it's not a rectangle, the post office won't deliver it. That's what I've heard. Fine.
I don't know of any occasions when that might have happened.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hi.
I'm a little concerned with your health. I was going to say that if you're going to continue reading stories from KGW, you might want to up your blood pressure medicine.
Yeah, seriously. I think we're going to have to stop reading stories from KGW until they get their act together, or it's just going to kill me. It really is just, I'm going to have an embolism right here if I continue
to read this. I thought you were already having an embolism or an aneurysm or one of those isms that makes that vein in your head just like pop.
I try to avoid isms. A person should not believe in isms. A person should believe in himself. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Did I turn that in? You didn't think I could turn that into a pop culture reference, but I did. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick, I think the deal that Pink Martini quote is when they refer to him as a local band, I think they're sort of probably looking at things or bands like Everclear, Dandy Warhols, or anybody like that as more of a national act at this point.
So what is the difference?
Well, I think the distinction is that Pink Martini actually still records for their own label.
Oh, so they're not on a major label.
They're not on a major label.
Okay.
Yeah, and they've been an indie local release that is like, you know, and they sold very well. And as much as it sounds like a line from singles, they do very well in Europe.
No, there's a, you know what? You know who's huge in Europe? It's the Dandy Warhols. Those guys are massive in Europe.
Yeah, they do huge like in England. But Pink Martini does real well in France, surprisingly.
Yeah, I'm looking at them. They look kind of snooty. That makes sense.
It's actually not a bad album if you check it out. But.
All right. Excellent. All right, well, apparently there's 5,000 copies of it at Northeast Burnside Music Millennium.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, man.
By the way, I'm going to quit pointing out errors in the story.
You have the story in your head? Put it down.
I found another one. Jesus.
Maybe I can find some errors on the coin website.
Is it so hard to pick up a copy of Strunk and White? Huh? Come on.
Is that a drink?
Yes, I'll have a Strunk and White and then a Black Russian. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, buddy. It's Chris.
No, Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
You know, I was actually, there's a coincidence. I was actually on hold to talk to Scotty about something, and you started talking about the postage.
Can I mail a round envelope?
You can, but it's non-standard, so you have to pay more postage.
What the hell is that about? What if it's round but smaller?
Well, the problem is that the automated machinery is set up to run specific size postage. Uh-huh. And anything that's not that size...
Or that shape.
Or shape, you know, is considered non-standard. And, you know, like postcards cost less than regular envelopes.
Unless it's a round postcard.
But if it's like an oversized postcard or a round postcard or, you know, triangular envelopes, we deliver it. You just got to pay a little bit more postage.
All right, I'm going to quit being angry about this stuff right
and
now.
The 41-cent postage went into effect on Monday. If you drop something in the mail on Saturday or on Sunday, it's probably going to go through just fine because it was in the system in advance.
Tim is shaking his head in disdain. Tim is angered by your comment.
You know, I mean, in my case, I pick up envelopes for the first couple days after a rate change. I carry around 2-cent stamps with me, and if someone on my route drops one in, I'll just stick a 2-cent stamp on there and get it out there because maybe they didn't know that the rate just changed.
You're a good person. That's right.
Well, six months from now, I'm not going to be that good person because, you know what, you get your head out of your ass and realize that it's supposed to
be. Excellent.
Maybe you should have a stamp to stamp that on.
Aren't there some stamps, though, that...
Head out of ass now.
Aren't there some stamps that don't have the cent sign? Like, if it just says, you know, first class postage and doesn't have the cent...
Yes, the new ones do.
Well, and then right now, they also have the new forever stamp.
Oh, God, are we really spending this much time talking about...
No, I want to know if I can fool the system if I have ones that don't have the cent amount on them.
Take a little nap over here while you do that.
This is really...
Why don't we talk more about round envelopes?
What does the forever stamp look like? Is it
the new forever stamp? It's actually... It's got the Liberty Bell.
I got those.
And it says, instead of saying first class, it says first class and it's crossed out and it says forever. And that stamp costs you 41 cents to buy right now. And if the postage goes up in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years, whatever, it's still good. So, you know, you go out and you spend, you know, buy yourself, hundreds of those stamps. They're good forever.
So are they going to keep selling the forever stamps forever, or can you only buy those now?
I'm pretty sure it's a limited time only.
I just knocked all of Sarah's fingernails on the floor. All right. I got to go, sir. Thank you. I'm going to put you back on hold. Scotty wants to talk to you about
this. And be watching for the Star Wars stamps coming out this next week, too.
Did you have anything else to talk about?
A regular letter is not anything different. A customer should not have to go to the post office to mail a letter. They can apply a 41-cent stamp, or if it's heavier weight, just as it was in the past, it would require more postage, but it's not that part of it is not complicated.
She is hot as balls. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Just a second, we'll do the top five. Later on, we'll spin the wheel of random crap to see what we talk about. More from the Reverend Tim Riley ahead at the bottom of the hour. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. How can I assist you, sir or madam, as the case may be?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Hey, just a couple of clarifications for you about your... all-consuming godlike knowledge of trivia, because you can't know everything.
Uh-huh.
A couple of things about Portland. Ross Island did, in fact, used to be an island. Ross Island sand and gravel mined it for the gravel, and now left the Big Lagoon. Now the Big Dig is going to help fill it back up.
I don't understand. You say Ross Island used to be an island?
It used to be an island. Now it's more like an atoll.
I don't understand this call, atoll.
Atoll at all. Hardly near. Anyway, it used to be an island. Now it just has a ring of dirt around
the lagoon. What makes something an island?
Pile of dirt and rocks surrounded by water.
Okay.
So this is...
What's the other thing you called about?
You said you couldn't imagine anybody just sitting around watching a mail plane take off. In fact, there was a place on Marine Drive, a large turnout, with a hot dog wagon that's there every day, where people actually sit and watch planes take off and land for hours at a time.
Okay. I'm glad you clarified that. Okay. Which portion of this call do you think was more interesting, the first observation or the second?
The very first part where I called you a godlike trivia.
That's my favorite section of the call, too. Thank you,
sir. I knew that it would be.
All right. Feel free to repeat that portion of this call anytime.
Scrapple Dave out.
Thank you. I don't know about this audience. I still don't know what an island is. Don't call. Don't call. I don't care what an island is. Called Ross Island, that's good enough for me. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, Rick. I got a basic question about the post office for you.
You realize that I don't work at the post office.
Yeah, I know. This is for everyone, but...
Okay.
First off, I have to have a disclaimer. I work for one of the big three delivery companies.
Okay.
But who uses the post office anymore? I haven't bought a stamp in 5 years.
Well, I was asking this the other day, actually, and I was ruminating. Now, we love the post office because they employ many of our listeners. So I was asking the other day, though, same thing. I said, well, you know, I don't really write letters. Everybody's the email and the blah, blah. And Mailman Chris actually made a really good point. He noted that a lot of people, that the internet has actually helped the post office a lot, because I would believe that there are fewer packages and fewer items being delivered by the post office every year, many, many people who engage in a lot of online purchasing and commerce have things delivered via the USPS, and those packages cost more to delay. In other words, the postage is more than they would be for letters. So, in other words, while you may not be sending a lot of letters, one good package from eBay delivered via the post office makes more money for them than a lot of letters would.
Well, that makes some sense. Now, here's a question about that forever stamp.
Okay.
If they go out of business, is it still good?
I don't know the answer to that, sir. That's
yeah, it. It's not forever, Rick.
Let me ask you this. Could Jesus make a rock so heavy he couldn't lift it?
Yeah. No, but Jerry Falwell could.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, okay. Now, it was a swing and a miss. Thanks.
He tried.
Yeah, he tried. Didn't succeed, but he tried. Thank you. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Well, let's do the top five, because I keep saying I'm going to get to it. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your top five for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Radio program.
4, 3, 2, 1, fire!
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy. I love to count, don't you?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley's off creating news at the moment, so I'll do this. I'll just read it like me. Well, you know, we're doing the Portland Anthem. We're creating the definitive Portland Anthem. So we are pondering the nature of such recordings. What better way, my chums, than to examine some definitive examples of the form? These are the top five. It was so difficult to create this list. You ought to see the songs that I didn't put on here. It was really hard to create this list. I'll guarantee you that I got things wrong. Feel free to call with your complaints. Feel free to call and tell me what I got wrong, because I know I got a lot of things wrong in this. Top five rock anthems of all time. Yeah, I have no confidence in the accuracy of this list at all. I'm looking at it now, and I don't know. I don't know what
Let's
I was...
Let's get to it.
I'm just...
You've never sounded more like a radio DJ in your life. Well, let's get to it then, Rick.
Okay. Because I know you're going to go for another 5 minutes on what songs you didn't put on there.
No, that was just great. You just sounded really, great just then. You sounded, that was a flawless radio transition. You sounded perky. You sounded bright, tight, and out of sight, as they used to say. Honorable mention for the album of the same name. I feel good about this one. AC/DC. For those about to rock, we salute you. What a great song this is. Boy, this is a fantastic song. In many ways, this is the quintessential AC/DC song. It's got that, you know, long before the Edge played guitar, the Edge's style of guitar playing was really created by Angus Young. Boy, how great is that? Got a big intro, like all anthems, it's got the big build. Starts out real slow. Now, what a great song. You don't get more anthemic than this. Whole song's only like 5 minutes long, but man, it just feels just huge. Only AC/DC could sing this and not have it sound retarded. Because these lyrics are really stupid when you think about it. They're just so melodramatic and dumb. Oh, it's fantastic. Top 5 rock and roll anthems. Number 5 from the album Different Class. This is Pulp, Common People. I love this song. It's one of my favorite songs of all time.
Oh, me too.
Based on a real story, too. It's about a girl at Jarvis Cockerman at college. She was a really, really rich girl, but who fancied him, though, because he was really poor. He was a real working class kid, and she wanted to hang out and live with the working class people because she thought that they were fascinating and interesting, and she wanted to live like a poor person. And this is a huge song in Britain. This is not as big in America, but it's a huge anthem in Britain. And this song, again, like a good anthem, this song starts out real slow and then escalates into just the angriest, loudest roar you have ever heard. Such a great song. I took it to a supermarket. I don't know why, but I I would encourage you, by the way, to look up the lyrics to this song online. It's the best written song on the list, I'll tell you that. Lyrically, it's called Common People by Pulp.
I can't see anyone else smiling. Thank you. You wanna live like common people. You wanna see what common people see. Wanna sleep with common people. You wanna sleep with common people like me. But she didn't understand. She just smiled and held my hand.
And then it really kicks into this full roar here, which is amazing, especially for a band that's not very guitar-oriented. And he has this line, because you could call your dad and he could stop it all. We'll be right back. 5 rock anthems of all time. Number 4, and this is the live version, I think, from Russ Never Sleeps. Neil Young, My My Hey Hey. I don't even know how you get that guitar sound, that chunky sound he's got there. The song from which Kurt Cobain took that line, better to burn out than to fade away, and I think it may have originated in the song. Young fan, but this song is amazing. A huge apocalyptic feel to it. Top 5 rock anthems of all time. Number 3 from Nevermind the Bollocks, Sex Pistols, God Save the Queen. Done at this time where there was this racial strife and violence and protest and record unemployment in Britain. And the fantastic thing about this, not only that it's catchy and it's loud and it's punchy and it's got a real flair to it, the great thing about this song is how it totally shifts at the end and it goes into that, you talk about apocalyptic, you've got a huge doom-laden, no-future thing at the end. Let's see if I can... Right here, totally shifts at the end into this gigantic coda. You know, there's only 100,000 people who ever bought this record at the time it came out, but every one of them started a band. Counting down the top 5 rock anthems of all time, number 2. Boy, what a great song.
I love the first one. It's
such a beautiful song. It's such a great song, and it's so anthemic. That this chord progression they do, this dun, 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 which is like EBA or whatever the hell it is. You almost can't do that in a song now because it just sounds like Baba O'Reilly. I've heard a lot of songs that do that. They'll try to have that chord progression where they go dun, 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 and the first thing you think of is this song. I mean, you know, Townsend owns that chord progression, you know, played this way anyway, for all intents and purposes. And of course, it's on the list just for creating the phrase Teenage Wasteland. Have you seen Pearl Jam do this?
No.
The Pearl Jam version of this is really good. This really ought to be number one. You know, I can really see all the flaws in this list.
Out here in the field.
Listen to how great that is. Yeah, I should have made this number one. Yeah, F me.
To prove I'm right, I don't need to be forgiven.
rock anthems of all time.
Yeah,
see, I made a whole mess of this. So this is what I put at number one. I put this as number one. This is really, I should have put this lower. Great song, though. I mean, you can't say anything bad about Queen, but this probably should have been like two or three. I remember growing up, I don't know if you were ever told this, Sarah, you're just young enough, you didn't get the whole devil rock craze.
No.
I mean, you were Catholic, but you didn't have a lot of preachers telling you that all this music was the work of Satan.
No.
We were always told that this song was evil because it was the anthem of the gay community. Because the gay rights activists apparently somewhere used this song, and that's why it was written. They were serving Satan by this by writing this. What a great song! After this, the Rick Emerson Show, the top five rock anthems of all time. Around the corner, the Reverend Tim Riley from the Ministry of Truth. Like us at 3, Dynamike at 7. You stay there, don't go anywhere.
My bow, oh my curtain calls. You brought me fame and fortune and everything that goes. I thank you all.
This morning at my wedding.
I know.
Why? Hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. You're just moments away from the Reverend Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, and we'll spin the wacky wheel of crap to see what we do after that. Let's see, what else do I have here? Well, that's pretty much it. Oh, is this somebody calling about the William Shatner version of... Yeah, hold on. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello there.
It sounds like you already know about it.
Yeah, this is William Shatner. I played the common people by Pulp, and William Shatner did a kind of kooky version with Ben Folds on his latest album, yeah.
Have you actually heard that album?
I heard Common People, and I heard that song he did with Henry Rollins, that I can't get behind that.
you should try to get a, sorry. You should try to hear the You'll Have Time. That's a really good one.
Let me ask you this. Do you sit around and listen to your William Shatner record?
No, it's one my sister gave me.
Okay, do you put it on and just sort of have it on in the background like you would a normal record?
No, just the Common People and the You'll Have Time. I just have those two cuts floating around MP3 somewhere, so.
The only reason I actually even searched out the Henry Rollins one is I saw Rollins do a spoken word gig here a couple years ago right after they'd recorded that, and he told this hilarious story about him and Adrian Belew from King Crimson, and how they all went, and like him and Ben Folds and the guy and then Shatner all in a room. And I didn't think it was possible. I thought it was just like, I didn't think it could possibly be real that Henry Rollins and William Shatner were doing a song together, and then I had to go seek it out. So, all right, excellent. All right, thank you.
Have a nice day.
You as well. All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, he's your president, your prophet, your seer, your revelator. Will you make way for the Reverend Tim Riley?
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Breaking news, shots were fired at the police in Washington County around 2 o'clock. The address? The 6600 block of Southeast Renfield in Hillsboro. The man is believed to be the shooter, and he's in a house that police have surrounded. No reports of injuries so far. And right nearby, of course, is the Brown Middle School. So that's been locked down. MySpace says it won't comply with a request by the Attorney Generals of 8 states to hand over the names of registered sex offenders who use the youngsters' social marketing website. A security officer said the country regularly discloses information to law enforcement officials. They already do this.
So MySpace will or will not handle
it? They will not. But they regularly disclose information to law enforcement officials. But they can only do so when proper legal processes are followed.
Well, and I hate to be advocating for sex offenders.
Yes.
But it seems like These are convicted sex offenders?
Yes.
So it seems like, you know, I mean, I am a big believer that if you're convicted and you serve your time and whatever, and if you've paid, I mean, unless you're on probation or parole or something.
You should be able to rent for school.
If you're sentenced to, well, I mean, if you're sentenced to five and you do five, then the government ought to get off your back, I guess, especially if it's a private company. And it's like MySpace can do. The only reason I even say that is because I hate to say this. But it always starts with sex offenders. The government always uses protecting children as a, like, that's what they use as the Slim Jim to jimmy open the civil liberties door. That's always what it is. They always start with something that you can't possibly disagree with. They say, look, we need to get all your personal information off MySpace. And then you go, well, I don't want it. And they go, but it's for children. And then you say, well, and they say, well, it won't be yours information. Not yet. It'll be sex offenders. You couldn't disagree with that, could you? No. And then they go, well, all right, as long as it's just sex. And then the next thing you know, Alberto Gonzalez is snooping through your trash. So, F that. All right, here's Tim Riley.
A man making the first visit to a home he bought in a foreclosure office found the former owner's mummified body sitting on the living room sofa. Coroner's estimated the woman's remains have been there since 2001 when she stopped making payments on her residence. The body mummified instead of rotting, partly because of the salty air breezes by the sea and roses.
Sounds like a poem.
It does. Her death went undetected because her ground-level apartment isn't an area of vacation homes with a high turnover rate of travelers. The mayor of this town in Spain, known as Roses, told the newspaper El Mundo it is normal that no one would miss the woman because in housing developments like this one, people always mind their own business.
The salty breezes by the sea did not decay, but mummified thee. Or something.
Well, it'd be like a picture of a cat. Apparently, a freshly rehabbed Britney was spotted twice inside Hollywood nightclubs this past week. She hit the night spot titties at the Roosevelt Hotel and took over two large booths in the back of the club. A group of massive bodyguards held up large black curtains to obstruct the view of anyone trying to sneak a peek at Britney her posse.
Oh, I hate her. I hate her so much.
Then she showed up at Le Deux in Hollywood. She didn't leave till 2 a.m. Sources say that Britney again had a mountain of security guards lining her VIP booth, set to confiscate cameras from anyone who tried to photograph the partying mob.
They just root for bad things to happen to her now. I don't know when that happened. I don't know when that shift happened in this culture. But I just actively root for horrible things to happen to Britney. Okay.
A rep for Spears says, so what? What we're doing is not a crime.
Have you seen her hair? It's finally growing out a little bit, and she's dyed it all blonde and has really nasty extensions attached to it.
Is it in the thatchy stage?
Ugh.
Hey, does Paris Hilton have extensions?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're going to take those away when she goes to the pokey.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. We got to get... Oh. Okay, Scotty J. Hold on. I'm sorry, Tim. Hold on just 1 second here.
No, please.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Hey, Scotty created this sound that's supposed to be, take the place of the spinning wheel. That's not a spinning wheel at all. All right, let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show our intrepid PA, Scotty J. This isn't a spinning wheel, Scotty. A vacuum of some kind.
I brought in a spinning wheel.
I've got a real spinning wheel.
Well, that's cool.
In your face.
I didn't leave my chair and walk around. I should have, but...
What is this?
Well, I figured...
Sounds like a drill.
I figured every single kooky DJ out there has a spinning wheel, Rick. And what you needed was a coffee grinder. And that's exactly what that is. So you can put your coffee grinder on... And shuffle everything around and then pick what story you're going to do next or what segment of the show is next. Get it? It's like coffee beans in a coffee grinder. It's genius.
I suppose.
Okay. If I don't say so myself.
If you do say so yourself.
Okay.
See, look how that shirt... Look. Okay, no, don't suck the gut in. You just sucked it in.
What?
I was just going to say, look how that shirt wraps around every supple curve of Scotty's
right.
Beer gut.
Scotty's
okay, here's the problem.
He sucked it in, though. When I pointed it out and you looked over, he sucked it in.
The problem is all my clothes are like this now, ever since I started.
Ever since you...
I'm not blaming it on the
Rick Emerson started getting
show.
Larger.
I'm just saying, within the last year, I've done a lot of sitting around and a lot of...
Sedentary lifestyle.
Evening festivities. So I think this is like literally what they call...
I don't think that's the Rick Emerson show problem. I think it's the Scotty J.
problem. It's a beer gut.
Tim stayed the same size. Sarah's as slender as ever.
Tim, believe it or not, walks in the early morning with his dog, and I don't know if it's a half mile or a mile, but then he walks. He walks 3 miles in the morning, and this is like at 6 a.m., and I'm still sleeping until 9. Then
that's the show's fault somehow.
No. What I'm saying is
that you become all squatty.
He also walks from the max, which is like 10 blocks down, so he gets plenty of exercise. That's my point.
All right, whatever. Anywho, the reason I brought you in here is because Paris Hilton's going to be going to jail.
Which is really sad. I really think somebody should put a petition out there somewhere.
No, you don't
be sarcastic. See, when you try to... See, here's the thing. When you try to be contrary, it doesn't work.
It sounds like an FM morning show.
Hey, I think
it really does.
There are plenty of them out there.
You sound like one of those guys on one of those shows whose job on the show is like the host will think one thing and the other host is obviously like... just faking the contrary position to sort of stir up calls and controversy.
You're like a mop head.
Well, it's kind of been like that since day one, Rick, but it's for real.
What?
I mean, I've always liked Paris, but I don't really...
But you know that she got a good... But you don't honestly think
that
she...
No.
Stop. Dude, let me ask you this. Just apply that seriously. Don't try to be a kooky-like character, because that's just dumb.
This is the morning.
This is the real Scotty J.
This is not... Yeah, this is...
Scotty.
Yeah, we're not the breakfast flakes. But you're not part of the whole brigade that thinks she's getting railroaded.
Not at all.
Yeah, she's not a regular person.
No, here's the deal. You know all about this. Here's the one thing I want to point out.
She committed a crime.
Right. She only had a .08, though. That's literally...
She's not going to jail for DUI.
Right.
She's going to jail because she drove on a suspended license.
And I think she deserves this because she totally snubbed showing up at court on time, snubbed even showing up at court.
Okay, there you go. Thank you. That's okay. So here's my... And then we got back to Tim here. But here's my thing. So she's going to jail. So I want to get a guy in the show who's gone to jail or gone to prison.
Okay.
There's a guy named Jim Hogshire who wrote a book called So You're Going to Prison. And we probably can't get him, but we might be able to. But we should try to find...
What's his first name again?
Jim. I'm going to write...
Oh, Jim. Okay.
Come on, Jim.
I'm working on Jim.
Did you get it?
I'm working on that.
Okay.
All right, hold on. Here's his name. This is an S. Jim Hogshire.
Okay.
If anybody hears, and he's not in the news at all anymore, and that book's old, so if you hear him show up on another radio program, you know where they got it from. But Jim Hogshire. See if you can find him and see if we can get him on the show.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
A wandering toddler is returned to the moon. Oh, that should be returned to mom. A 3-year-old boy was found wandering in Seattle's Pioneer Square while his mom was in a nightclub partying it up, and the child is being returned to the mother. Child Protective Services says the Issaquah woman has agreed to a safety plan. The agency will monitor her parenting and take custody of the boy if there are any further problems. He was left in an unlocked car while his mother went into a nightclub at 12:30 in the morning.
God, I hate people.
He was found cold and shoeless.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving him... Oh, I hate people.
Mm-hmm.
I hate people so much. And you know that it'll happen again because you know she'll pump out like 20 more kids.
Yep.
They always do.
Well, she's been out to 12:30, so she's already getting a good start on it.
Seriously. After meeting her next... you stay here. Mommy's got to go find the next father of
Monday's
bastard
child
children.
How to tie his boot legs.
Seriously. All right.
Well, that's enough for one day.
No, it's not, Tim.
Because...
Well, you'll be back for...
No, I'm saying on this program...
Okay.
This is the only show I work
on. No, of course not. Tim will be back.
Popular demand, I'm back 3 other times.
No.
4?
4.
Oh, that's right.
4 times. We'll fix all this later.
It all started when they increased the price of a stamp.
Good callback. Bam, the circle is closed. Tim Riley back in a little over an hour at 4 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen. 4, 5, 6, and 7. Top of the hour, the way through like his greatest newsman on earth, Tim Riley. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Let's take a break, and then if we have time, we'll spin the wheel on the other side and find out exactly what to do to fill that time and so forth. 503-733-2970. Sir Rick Emerson. Radio program. Stay there.
Those things
start. Come on. Don't pump gas. This is retarded. All right, we
We're now into the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Oh, I got to read these. I got to read these Anna Nicole Smith things before I do anything else. We'll try to get some of these emails. I don't think we'll be spinning the wheel. We'll do this tomorrow, though. What is tomorrow? Thursday?
Yeah.
Like is coming up at 5 minutes. Donna Mike at 7. Stephanie Miller tomorrow live, 6 to 8. Dennis Miller, 8 to 11. This is from Yahoo News. And just when he thinks you can't... Boy, it's amazing how this story suddenly just fell out of the news. She's just gone. The whole Anna Nicole Smith story. And because it's been...
Are we still talking about her?
Well, I'm just going to read this one thing about her diary entries because they're hilarious. And then, because Paris is the new Anna now. Everybody's on the Paris Hilton story, which you don't even think will happen. You don't even think she'll end up going.
No, because it's too good.
So you don't think that she'll get out of it because there's any legal reason, just because you think that God will deny us the pleasure of her going to...
I bet she's going to find some loophole or something. Or at least if she does go to spend... You know, like how Michelle Rodriguez, that girl from
right.
Lost, how she was sentenced to 60 days and she ended up spending 3 hours in jail.
Is that true?
It's
I didn't
true.
Know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate her.
So they booked her and then she stayed for a few hours and left. That's what I'm afraid is going to happen.
How is that even possible? Why do they, how does that even work?
I don't know. I guess like a lot of overcrowding in jails and that kind of stuff.
All right.
So well, it would be too perfect and too wonderful. I just don't see it happening.
So you think it's because we can't ever have
I'm not
nice going to
get excited. Like, when I hear that she's actually entered the prison and she's in there, then I'll be happy. But until then, I can't be happy.
All right. Let's see. Los Angeles. Don't read. Personal with two L's. Apparently, Anna Nicole Smith was auditioning for a job writing for KGW. Personal warns the diary's inside cover, but its author, Anna Nicole Smith, has no hold in death on the remnants of her life. The public can now discover that she was delighted by rough sex. Really? Hello. I haven't pre-read this. The public can now discover that she was delighted by rough sex, ecstatic over the prospect of plastic surgery on her bosoms, and fearful of a jealous boyfriend. She was careless with spelling, punctuation, and, too often, with her own well-being. This is a whole lot of diary excerpts here. Let's see. Diary excerpts released exclusively to the Associated Press. Quote, this is a diary entry about complaining about an ex-lover or a then-lover's carousing. We discussed it, and he said he wouldn't go out and get drunk no more unless he was with me. Smith wrote in the diary. We discussed it, and he said he wouldn't go out and get drunk no more unless it was with me. Who writes
this
way?
That's just bad.
Seriously. Copies of 60 diary pages were provided to the AP by Universal Rarities, an auction house. She posts intimate details of an active sex life in often graphic language. She rails...
With poor punctuation.
Yeah, and an abject lack of spelling correctness. She rails against her boyfriend and in the same scrawled entry celebrates her upcoming breast surgery. This was Anna Nicole Smith's diary.
Please tell me you have the excerpts.
Quote... I'm so excited I could scream, ah, I just feel so happy, Smith writes, though she later expresses worry about the imminent operation and how she'll look. One of the more poignant passages deals with her shock at finding she's pregnant. This is the best part, by the way. Quote, I'm so scared, how can this happen? My boyfriend will hate me, period. He don't want kid, period. Can't do it, period. He don't want kid. Not punctual, not capitalized, by the way. My boyfriend will hate me. He don't want kid.
Does it say who the boyfriend does?
No, it doesn't. I'm assuming it's Larry Burkhead, but who knows? Maybe she had a baby and then didn't have the baby. If you know what I mean.
How long until the music starts here?
10 seconds.
Well, damn. I don't have time to read this email like Morbo from Futurama. Rick, you should have Sarah's fingernails put inside a snow globe. That's actually kind of an interesting idea.
My mom just gave you a snow globe. You can put it in that one.
A snow globe filled with Sarah's fingernails. That's great.
We're really scraping the bottom of the barrel here.
I wouldn't give it away, though. I'd just keep it then, and I'd shake it up occasionally when visitors came into the office. Hi. And bye. The Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley. Our intrepid PA is Scotty J. And the gatekeeper is Dave Zinn.
We're going to next scene and radio correspondents Jim Roop and Lisa Goddard as well. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards grind you down, and please do try to help the retarded. I helped the retarded today. What did you do? Like us next, Don and Mike at 7. See you all tomorrow, kids. Be safe. Bye now.